జయం విశుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనంతకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి, ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన ధామికి, మాయాపూర్ ధామికి, మధురపురి ధామికి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి, గంగమాయికి, యమునమాయికి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవహి స్వీకృతోసి మయానాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే. మనోరథీ మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయ నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరద చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాద్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదికవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయం. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైదవోత్ర పరమో నర్మత్సరాణాం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవదే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాన్. నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుదం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకా. సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే అత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా. యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహవా పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అద్యాల్పదీపమదితితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకొనిదాదృదానేందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం నా కణికాభికాభికావీం. నమామోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశా
യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യം പരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാപരം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം. ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതം ഭഗവതാ നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം. അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം. നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്രാം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണം പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയം പ്രദീപാഃ. പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായാം ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗൽഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുലാം. അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണം ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം. പാരാശര്യവജഃ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം. ലോകേ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജം കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈർക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതതദ്ഗതേന മനസ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ.
So we were discussing this most important verse in this 10th chapter. Aham Atma Gudakesha Bhutam Sarvashayasthita Aham Adhyam Cha Madhyam Cha Bhutanam Andameva Cha. We have seen yesterday that this principle of Antaryami, Krishna's presence in everyone, is something an individual has to take it to himself. It's not something that you can propagate. It has to be understood. It has to be accepted as Krishna has spoken in this chapter. You can see the depth of that verse, as we talked about yesterday also. The principle that society and an individual, if you link to these two things, in society is based on personality. The spiritual life is based on Atma. Did you see that difference? Society is based on the ego, false ego inside, which is called the personality. The spiritual life is based on Atma, the soul. There are two different things within us, isn't it? So that is why this, when it comes to society, they are considering us as a personality. And even in the Vedam, many of the rituals and sacrifices is based on that understanding that we are personality, ego. That is why in Karmadandam and in other places also, many of the rituals what we perform, for example, marriage or birthday or whatever that we are doing, it's all based on that understanding that we are ego, not the Atma, the soul inside. There is a big difference there. And Krishna has spoken this many times, and through Krishna's life, if you look in this world, while in his own daily routine, you will notice one interesting thing, that Krishna himself used to get up in the morning and used to meditate on Atma, the soul. Have you noticed that in the 10th canto? You may remember why Krishna was, what is he meditating upon, isn't it? We all have to meditate on Krishna, but what is Krishna? Everybody asks that question. What Krishna has to meditate upon? That question will come. If you look at the 70th chapter, in the 10th canto, 70th chapter, even while in the householder life with Rukmini Devi and Satyamama and many others, Brahme Muhurte Uthaya, Krishna used to get up in the Brahma Muhurtam. We find it sometimes difficult, but Krishna had no difficulty. Krishna used to get up in Brahma Muhurtam. Brahme Muhurte Uthaya. And what did he do? Varyubaspruśyama Athava. Krishna used to bathe himself, and Varyubaspruśya means bathing. And prepare himself. Dadhyau prasanna karanam almanam tamasaparam. That with full consciousness, realizing who he is. And exactly, Krishna was not doing for his purpose. Krishna is showing to us how we should be conscious about the soul, Atma. Dadhyau, Krishna doesn't have to, because he is the soul. He has told us also. He is in full realization that Krishna is the soul of everyone. And that is what he has told us in this chapter, isn't it? And having said that, here he says, Brahmay Muhurta Uthaya, verse 4. Vayubasprishya Madhavaha Dadhyau Prasanna Karanam Almanam Tamasaparam. Almanam Tamasaparam. That presence of the soul in everyone. That I am the super soul in everyone. I am the soul of everyone. That awareness. Krishna used to meditate upon that in the morning when he got up. When he gets, that is Krishna's routine. Sri Narada Maharshi went to see Krishna's life, isn't it? How he conducts his day. And this is what Narada Maharshi saw there. Egam, what was he meditating upon? Egam swayam jodi ananyam avyayam swasamstaya nitya nirastha kalmasham brahmakhyam asyod bhavanasha hedubi swashakti bir lakshita bhava nirvritim. Athapuladombhasyamale yathavidhi kriyakalabham paridhaya vasasi chakara sandhyovagamadi sattado hutanalo brahma jajapavagyadaha. These two verses, description of that Krishna self-inquiry. Krishna is not inquired. This is only to show to us that this is how the life should be. That always trying to realize the self, always fixed on the self, not on the body. We have no understanding of our identity. So, till Krishna says, that definitely this is the practice he expected us to have. Every morning to be fixed on the self.
In the Sutra Bhashyam, Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, Ajaya Swaji mentions like this, avidya kalpitam laugikam vaidikam karmam, he says.
Even vaidika karmam, some of these Vedic rituals are also avidya kalpitam. It is based on avidya. Why? Because those who are in that level, who are stuck with the rituals of the Vedam, or who are attracted to the rituals, even them, to keep them on a track, all those things are spoken in the Vedam. So that they don't fall away into, if you don't discipline life in some way, what will happen? You will immediately go in the wrong direction. At least to keep that, they have given these certain rituals in the Vedam to discipline ourselves. So that's why it says, avidya galpidam, that is avidya galpidam. It is avidya, no doubt, because it's not taking to the truth yet. But avidya galpidam, laugigam and vaidigam karmam. He mentions like that, vaidika karmam and laugika karmam. Both are avidya galpidam. And then in that, why? Because once you come to that, then you start thinking, I am a Brahmana, somebody is a Kshatriya, is a Vaishya, is a Shudra. All these things come. All that is based on the body, isn't it? It's all based on the body. Or I am born in this family, I am born in that family. And so that is all kalpana. Kalpana means that is some kind of, you are fixing certain things based on your mind. So, or in that process, karma is executed. So in this verse, Krishna is saying, once you have come to this absolute truth, which is that aham alma gudhakesha, once you have reached that state, if you do not stay in that, you have already fallen down into the other things. So one who wants to know the truth, Krishna says, he has to transcend them. He has to transcend the other thing, whether it is vaidya karmam or laugya karmam. And so long as our mind is stuck in the society's influence and in the influence of others and various things from the society, how it has influenced us, that courage to break away from that doesn't come very easily. It's very difficult. So long as we are stuck in the society. Society is controlling us in a very gross level and a very subtle level also. Isn't it? We are all, as soon as you come, we are all bound to follow the rules and regulations of the society. Society may be ignorance, doesn't matter. We are still part of that society. Very difficult to break through that, to come to the platform of the soul. So that will not come. That is why to come to tattvajnanam and to get fixed in that is very, very difficult. So that is what we were discussing yesterday also. Aham Atma Gudakesha, Krishna saying that within everyone I am present. That is what we were seeing yesterday. So after that, I mentioned also that the rishis, they don't like time, talking about time. Rishis have created many things. They have given us a lot of understanding in a very subtle level about life. But they never went in to find out how to make a time measuring instrument or a watch or a clock. They never invented that. The reason was, in their brain there is no time. Living in time, it's a very interesting thing if you analyze it properly. Living in the concept of time, physically you need to measure something, time. That, for example, in our vyavaharam, in transactions, for example, we come here at 2:30, we leave at 6:30. We need to know a time is necessary, because in vyavaharam it's required to manage it. But the problem is that if you fall into the grip of the time, it creates a frustration. If you fall into the grip of the time, what does it mean? That means that any time when you start thinking that time is controlling your life, then you have fallen to the bodily level. You are not in the platform of the soul. If you start from thinking that time, you are under time's influence, you can never be under time's influence. Soul cannot come under influence of time. The body may be, but soul cannot. Body is subjected to time. It will only last for some time. After that it will go. It will drop and go. But soul cannot be under the influence of time. So the moment we thinking ourselves that we are under the influence of time, that means that you have fallen from the platform of the soul. So you can see this also, that so many things that Upanishad says, Tyageneiva amrutatva manashum. When you are able to free yourself from all these bondages what we have created, like for the sake of happiness in this world, we have created so many objects, isn't it? That unable to find, how do you find out somebody has fallen into the grip of time? This is the proof of that. Krishna is saying that because we are finding it difficult to while away the time, we have invented all these things, isn't it? Which one? Computers, videos, TVs, internets, this, so many things like that. Why we have done that? Because we couldn't utilize the time properly. Which shows that we had to surrender to the time, the influence of time. So you can see here, all these things we have created to while away the time. Because we are feeling the difficulty, how what to do with the time. Which is an indication of our own weakness, that we are finding that we are under the control of time. But even after having all these things, still there seems to be no fulfillment inside. So that is what Krishna is saying here. When Vedam is telling us, when you start leaving things, freeing yourself from the grip of all the things, then you become free. When you Vedic principle is that, not by coming under the control of so many things, rather freeing yourself from the control of other things, you become free. That is what Shedashvedaram is saying, Tyageneiva amrutatva manashu. Tyagam, continuously throwing away things from life. So they give the example that when you are climbing a mountain, you are climbing, and this is the mountain of knowledge, what Krishna is talking about. When you are climbing, what do? You take the minimum with you, isn't it? You don't want to carry a big baggage at the back, because it will impede your journey. So therefore, while you are going, you have to continuously shed things away from here. And absolute minimum weight you have to carry with you, what's necessary. And little by little, you will know when you start downloading things from your own baggage, you will know that how it is helping you in your self-realization. It's exactly the comparison they give in the Upanishads. That when you are climbing a hill, how you want to take the very minimum, isn't it? You don't want to carry a lot of things. Take the very minimum. And if possible, you'll avoid the minimum weight you want to go to the top. Now similarly, while climbing the, Krishna saying, while realizing the self, while you are in the process of knowledge, you just have to constantly give up attachment to this world. So here, if it is done like that, Krishna saying that eventually you will come to know that vastu inside. What is this thing? Who is shedding everything? Who does not want anything? It does not want anything. And that awareness, that is what Krishna is saying, that aham alma gudakesha. This aham, 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 inside what it is always giving that signal to us about the awareness of our existence, which is aham alma gudakesha sarvabhudashayastida. Remember this thing, one person, he used to, while he is in the house, he will close all the doors and windows. When he leaves the house, he will leave all the doors and windows open and walk out from the house. So everyone know, normally we do the opposite thing, isn't it? When you are in the house, you leave the windows, doors open. When we go out, we lock everything and go. That's what all of us do. But he was doing exactly the opposite. When he's inside the house, he will close all the doors and windows. And when he leaves the house, he will leave all the windows, doors open. So some people asked him, why are you like this, even doing everything opposite to what we normally people do? So his answer was very interesting. He says to them that for me, the most important valuable thing is me, the self. And for that to protect, I'll do anything. But when I am not there, the self isn't there, Why should I worry about other things? They are not the important thing. This was his logic. It may sound a little impractical or whatever you may call it, but you may, how do you do that? But just try to understand the thinking behind it. That the most for you, there may be many valuable things in the house, your jewelry or your gadgets or your cash or whatever, checkbooks or credit cards, car keys or whatever we consider valuable in our little life. All those things, that's why we lock the house when we go. He says, they are not valuable for me. More than all that, for me, what is valuable is the self. Aham. So that was his answer to that. So that, he said, I don't want anybody to take it away. That is why I locked the house, he said. So, most valuable thing of all our possessions is this aham. Aham asmi, awareness inside. And that sarupam, that is not our body, isn't it? So, little bit of self-inquiry is necessary. Krishna has done this himself to show to us that it should be done every day. And that is in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, in the 70th chapter, Krishna's daily practice. There is no need for Krishna to do self-inquiry. It was only done to show to us that how one should live in this world, that inquiring about the self, who we are. So, for Krishna, there is absolutely no need to do any self-inquiry. Who is the self of everyone? But still, in order to show to us in a daily life how one should live with the inquiry process must go on. So, in other words, but I am not this body, this realization, every moment. So, body will never say, I am, I am, I am. Body will never say that. Even if you take away the, break away the hands and legs and other things, still awareness never reduces, diminishes. It remains the same, isn't it? So, and that awareness, which is always free from every other influence inside, and you can see, you can transplant the kidney, the heart, the liver. So many things, they have started transplantation, isn't it? They have started all that. And they have not started the head yet, which maybe they do one day. They have started. But long before that, Lord Shiva has done that with Daksha, isn't he? He took his head and put the goat's head on top of it. And it worked. So it looks that they were able to do that head transplant of the head. They have done that long ago. So it's nothing much important here. This transplanting, we consider so big thing, transplanting the heart and liver and all that things. But in their conceptions, well, whatever you may transplant in the body, that awareness inside, in your anubhavam, in your experience, that is there in full. It doesn't get reduced, it doesn't get changed. So that is no experience. How do you know that? Because body is not in me. This is the important principle. Body is not in me, and I am not in the body. I am not in the body. Body is something that has appeared in this world. Body has something appeared in this world. And only problem is that I have identified with the body. That's all. I know it is in our present state, all these statements may look a little bit out of our grasp. All these statements. I'm not this body. Body is not mine. Body is not for enjoyment. And body is belong to the material nature, prakriti. And I'm not in the body. If we say that, people will find that difficult. That is why I'm saying, this knowledge doesn't require propagation. It doesn't help. People will have so many questions and it is difficult. But this has to, our problem is that, we are not in the body, and body is not in us. Body is there in the nature, material. Just like the tree is standing there, the body is here. That's all it is. Only thing is, this body is moving around. That is a non-moving thing. The tree doesn't move; we move. That's only doing charam acharam, isn't it? But even this moving body, there is no connection between the soul and the body. It may appear to us that. I am, because I have identified with the body, I think that there is a connection with the, there's a connection with the body. Therefore, and that identification is what they call in the Shastram as Maya. This identification is what is called as Maya. So,
And because I'm thinking like that, with this strong identification with the body all the time, therefore they say, that is not me, that's not me, body is not me. Till I free myself from this, and if attention is given continuously for that, you will notice one thing, that just like when you cook vegetables and all that, say for example when you prepare dal or something, sometimes you have cooked with a lot of water, and sometimes the dal part and the vegetable part, they'll come to the bottom, and the top part will be a little bit more clearer, isn't it? The bottom part, everything collects there. So similarly, there is a clearer part and there is a thicker part, a thinner part and the thicker part. Similarly, the soul on its own is very clear, but added to the soul there is this thing called mind, intelligence and other things, which actually corrupts the soul. It's a corruption on the soul. So without being corrupted by the mind, without being corrupted by the intelligence, or without being corrupted by the ego, one has to stay in that awareness. One has to stay in the awareness. And in that state, if the inquiry continues, you will notice one thing, that all other influences, for example, past, present and future, they are coming from through the mind and the intelligence. They are not coming from the soul. When we are thinking in terms of time, of past, present, future, immediately it is an indication that on your swarupam as the soul, you have put this adhyasam, they call it. Adhyasam means imposing something on that which actually doesn't belong to the soul. Soul doesn't have any time concept. Time, past, present and future doesn't exist in the soul. But who puts it then? Intelligence and the mind imposes it on the soul. So you can look at that soul through these things, through mind, intelligence in this way, which means along with that you'll bring the concept of time, space, everything into it. But if you don't corrupt the soul with any of these things, with time or space or mind or intelligence, none of them, pure soul, you can understand that it is independent of everything. Independent of everything. Same thing with Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti also. It's another thing what you are imposing on the soul. Adhyasam it is. That is why in the Bhagavadam, when Krishna talks about it, he says that Jagrat, Swapna, Sushuptanja, Pravurto, Gunavurtaya, he says. It's Gunavurti it is. Tasam Vilakshano Jiva Sakshityana Vinishchida. The inside the Krishna's presence, he is completely independent, on whom you cannot influence with Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. That cannot go on that. So all times, that things which never changes, never corrupted by anything, always in a pure state, Nityam Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarubam, what is called eternal, pure, full of Shuddha Buddha, always fully conscious and always liberated. That is the state of the soul, soul's nature. That identification, we don't have it at the moment. Our identification is because it's through the mind and the intelligence and with the gross body. Therefore, all the miseries of prakriti also comes to us. So, there you can see that. So, when you are on that platform of the soul, even when the thoughts are coming, we will remain undisturbed. We will remain undisturbed. And not only then, even when you are in the happy state also. And he is there, that existence, even while sleeping. In the vacant state, as you know, we have talked about it before also, in the Jagrata state, vacant state, the body is there. The mind is there. I am there. Isn't it? You go into dream state, what happens? The body has gone. Mind is there. I am there. And when you go into deep sleep, body has gone, mind has gone, I am there still. This is the proof of that. That my real identity is actually in the Sushupti state. Very close to the truth. Very close to the truth. So, the aham, aham asmi. So, that experience is pure chit. Pure chit. Satya chitta anandam we say. That chit shakti is that pure experience of the soul. So if you give attention, come our attention, Shraddha falls on that, you will know that is not the ego, that is not the false pride, it is not the jiva. Actually, that is our Swarupam, and that is Krishna Swarupam. Krishna Swarupam inside us, that's what it is. So, so Samadhi Prajna, they call it in the Jnana Margam. Kodi Surya Samaprabham. Millions of suns together, that effulgence. It is not spoken in that way, in the sense that, not that it is so bright in that sense. In other words, in an aparoksham way, it's a solid experience inside what is present. So here it says it is more effulgent than the sun. The reason why it's spoken like that is it's more effulgent than the sun. To see the sun, you need the eye, isn't it? So need the sun, so look at the sun, you need the eye. And you also need the mind and you need the senses. But to know the self, you don't need any of those things. That is why it's called compared with the sun. To see the sun, you need the senses, eyes, you need the mind and senses, isn't it? Mind and the senses you need for looking at the sun. But this thing inside, you can't see it with the eye, you can't see it with the mind. It's more powerful than that. Therefore it is compared to, it says, millions of suns together, that is how effulgent that is inside. That means if you start looking through the mind and the senses, you won't find it there. It has to come through only Shraddha. Shraddha is the key for that. That is why it is like that. So, and that awareness, Krishna says here, that therefore it is available to us, that awareness, and therefore it is called Mahavibhuti. Mahavibhuti, isn't it? So, Arjuna asked Krishna this question about Vibhuti. Question about Vibhuti. Krishna says to Arjuna, just know, you need to know only this one Vibhuti. Which one? Aham Atma Gutakesha. There are many Vibhutis used to be spoken now, from now on. After this verse, there is a series of Vibhutis spoken. They are not given the importance of this particular Vibhuti of Krishna. Which one? Aham Atma Gutakesha. That particular Vibhuti. Therefore Krishna says, if you know this one thing, that is sufficient. And not only that, he says here that this is a Mahavibhuti, Krishna says. It's a Mahavibhuti. Mahavibhuti. Why do you say it is Mahavibhuti? Let's understand that word properly, Vibhuti. Vibhuti, actual meaning is ash. You know when you burn something, the ashes, when devotees of Shiva, they put that on the head, isn't it? Sadhus, so many of them put the ashes on the head. So, Vibhuti means ashes. Vibhuti means ashes. There's another meaning of this word, Vibhuti. So, this, you can burn everything in this world, isn't it? Everything you can burn. But this one thing, awareness, aham, you cannot burn. That is why it is called Mahavibhuti. Because it cannot be burned, Krishna has also said that in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, that Agni, fire cannot touch that. Fire cannot touch that. So, there is this, just like if you burn the paper, it will look at black, and finally if you turn into ashes, it will become whiter, powder, isn't it? So, this burning and making it as, this principle that after burning it turns white, although it may be black, while burning it turns white. This relationship is between Vishnu and Shiva also. Shiva, by nature, the color is very white, and Vishnu is black. So, in reality, black and white is the same. From there, two forms have come, two colors have come, in that way. So, after everything is burned, the body is burned, everything is burned, final form it takes is Vibhuti. Is it not?
when you burn the body and everything else, what do they get? Ashes. All of us, isn't it? It's the same thing. Finally, it's the same material, finally. When we go to Golders Green, our last visit, they'll give you in a pot, take it with you. They'll say, you can take it with you, what you are. So that is vibhuti. What you are carrying is vibhuti. But this one thing cannot be burned. Which our aham atma guna kesha. So atma is the greatest of all vibhuti. And this is the real vibhuti, which is the antaryami inside. Which is the antaryami inside. So vibhuti, for example, you know, in different traditions, they have different ways of the putting the tilaks, isn't it? Advaiti Shankaracharya tradition is one way, Ramanuja's tradition another way, and then various traditions, Vallabhacharya's tradition is different, Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition different, so many different. They are all on the external side, on the external side. That is also vibhuti, what we put on as tilaks, what's called vibhuti. But they are the urdhupundram, they call it in Ramanuja Sampradaya, urdhupundram. But whatever it may be, the vastu inside is more important, and that is the greatest vibhuti, not this marking outside. Whatever different sampradayam will follow different system. Ramananda Sampradayam, they have one way. Then every sampradayam has their own vibhuti system outside. But greatest of all that vibhuti is this vibhuti inside. What is that? Aham alpa guda kesha sarvabhuda shaya stita aham adhyam cha madhyam cha bhutanam andame vacha. All other vibhutis is after this. Krishna saying that person who knows this vibhuti and one who realizes that, he is the greatest vibhuti in the creation. One who realizes that. Not all the markings you have done on the body. No. One who realizes this, Mahavibhuti, which one? Andaryami inside. One who realizes that, he is the greatest Vibhuti, Krishna saying, in this creation. In this creation. So therefore, all the self-realized soul, they are Krishna's Mahavibhuti. Krishna's Mahavibhuti. So because by his presence alone in this world, the world notices a difference in him. What is that? Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavati, Vedam says. One who has realized Brahmam, he has become Brahmam. Krishna's direct manifestation in this world is the realized soul. The realized soul, they are the direct manifestations in this world. Only reason for that is because of his self-realization. Similarly, this you can notice this. Anytime, anyone who realizes the truth, who it is, doesn't matter, they become extraordinary in this creation. In this creation, many great personalities who have realized, they were always in the spiritual history of the world. They will always be there. They will always be there because of their spiritual realization, that they have realized the truth. Therefore, we can see here that need not be human species. That need not be human species. According to the great Mahalvas, what they are saying to us, even the trees sometimes realizes, sometimes mountains, and sometimes animals, they also realize it. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice this, one or two examples like that. When the Nalakubera Manigriva pastime happened, Krishna pulled the mortar between two trees, isn't it? Nalakubera. And when the mortar was pulled within, the trees fell down and they got liberated. Then manifested the two Gandharvas, Nalakubera and Manigriva, they came then after that. And they stood there, glorified Krishna, and they went back from there. Isn't it? So they glorified and they left. So there you can see, they may be in the body, in the form of the tree. But as soon as the realization happened due to Krishna's grace, they got released from that bodily identity and they gone back to the spiritual self-realization state has happened to them. For happened to them. Another example, Gajendra's story. Gajendra was there, but as soon as Krishna cut the crocodile away and released him from his body, you will see in the 8th canto that story, famous, isn't it? Gajendra's story. Now, as a devotee, you normally look at it this way. Oh, Krishna has brought him back, and we look at his past life. We'll look at his past life, that he was a great king, Indradyumna, who had got this body and came as an elephant here. Now, that side of it, we cannot prove it, isn't it? We don't know. That is what Shastram says to us. He was Indradyumna in the previous life. And similarly, these two trees were Nalaguvera and Manigriva in their previous life. And they have come like this. And that is how Puranam will present the story to us. But the truth of this whole thing is this, that even in those bodies, realization is possible to get released from this body. Is possible. Doesn't have to be a human body. That's the point Krishna is making here. Aham Alma Guda Kesha. Even in them, Krishna is present there as Alma. Even in those two trees also. Even in the crocodile and the Gajendra also. Krishna was present there. And they were released from that body. Even in that state, why? Krishna has decided to release them. So Antaryami's power is what you have to take note of here. That Antaryami present in anyone at any time can do wonders. Doesn't matter what kind of body it has got. In Puranam, when you mention the story like this, you'll say it in a different way. Like we'll say, oh, suddenly Gajendra remembered about his prayers from the last birth, how he worshipped Krishna as Indradyumna, and came to his mind, then he offered the flowers to Krishna, and Narayana, Akhila Guru, Bhagavan, Namaste, all that prayers in the Bhagavadam. And Krishna came and released him, saved him from the crocodile. That is how the story is, isn't it? But directly looking at it from the viewpoint of the Shastram is telling us that even in those body, whether it is elephant's body or the tree's body, even there, direct liberation is possible. As long as the Antaryami inside of Gajendra, Antaryami inside those two trees, they have given them the freedom to leave. Freedom to leave from here. So this special feature can happen in animals, plants, trees, everywhere. So that means this vibhuti, Krishna's vibhuti, can manifest anywhere. So these vibhutis, what Krishna has spoken so far, this is the most important vibhuti. This aham alma gudakesha sarva bhudashayasthida aham adhyamcha madhyamcha bhudanam andamevacha. After this, there are many other vibhutis spoken. And nitya vibhuti, because here, what the vibhutis from now on is all those which are important, that is present in the creation, which are, vibhuti means certain center, that's what it is, certain places where you should see Krishna's presence more than in other places. Naturally, that's where you will be looking at, isn't it? When Krishna manifests in certain places more than other places. Just like cow has got milk everywhere. But to get the milk, you have to milk it from the udder. That's where you will get it, isn't it? The milk. Similarly, Krishna is present in everything in this creation. But some places, He is very special. He is present. He is present in a very special way, in some places. And those few vibhutis, we will look at it now, what they are. Even if we don't study all the other vibhutis, if this one vibhuti, what Krishna has spoken, Antaryami, that is Krishna's greatest vibhuti. It is so important, that vibhuti. Krishna is saying that the thing that he says, Aham Alma, Pratyagalma Gudakesha, Ashaye, Sarvesham Bhutanam Ashaye Andar Hridisthita, Nityam Dhyayaha. For everyday meditation. Nityam dhyayaha. Nityam dhyanam. For everyday meditation is this one vibhuti. Which one? Aham Atma Gudakesha. That is for everyday meditation. If that is not possible, then all the coming ones from now on, you can take to any one of them. Tad ashaktena, Ajaya Swamiji is bashing on that. Tad ashaktena, if you are not able to perform this one, which one? This vibhuti, aham atma gudakesha. If you cannot engage in the inquiry of the self, then cha uttareshu bhaveshu chindyaha. Aham chintayidom shakyo yasmad aham eva adi bhutanam karanam tada madhyam jastidi andha pralayaha. If this is not possible, then any other form, what we are going to speak from now on, to realizing that for all other living entities, I am the cause. I am the one who is maintained. It is because of my presence they are being maintained, and I am the end. This one vibhuti, what we have now spoken, and all the other vibhutis which are going to be spoken, there is a difference. What is the difference? In this vibhuti, this Ahamalpa Gudakesha is a permanent vibhuti. The other vibhutis, for example Himalayam, the mountain Himalayam, the rivers, and all other things what is being spoken, they are subject to change. Whereas this one vibhuti is eternal vibhuti. That is why it's so important. Aham Atma Gudakesha. Knowledge of the self, what Krishna is saying here. So that's why I say, tad ashaktena cha uttareshu bhaveshu chindyaha. Aham chindayidum shakyo yasmad ahameva adi. Bhudanam karanam tada madhyam chastidi andaha pralayaha. That is why in the last two lines Krishna is saying, aham adhyam cha madhyam cha bhudanam andameva cha. So adi madhyam andam is going to be there in all the other vibhutis. Whereas the first vibhuti, there is no adi, there is no madhyam, there is no andam. There is no beginning, middle or end. Because that vibhuti is eternal, Krishna's presence inside. That is why it's more important than any other vibhuti. Which one? Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarvabhudashya Sthita. Such an important verse that is. And so, Aditya, next verse. Adityanamaham Vishnu Jyotisham Ravirashuman Mari Charmarudam Asmi Nakshatranamaham Shashi Adityanamaham Vishnu Jyotisham Ravirashuman Mari Charmarudam Asmi Nakshatranamaham Shashi Adityanam Aham Vishnu Jyotisham Ravi Amshuman Marijar Marudam Asmi Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. Very straightforward. Adityanam Dwadashanam Vishnu Nama Adityaha Aham. Krishna saying there are 12 Adityas. In the 12th canto of Bhagavatam you will see how Krishna is present in the as Aditya in 12 different, that is how these 12 months have come in the world. In 12 months, Krishna is present in the sun planet as Aditya in 12 different forms. And from there 12 months have come, Adityam. Adityanam Dwadashanam Vishnu, Vishnu Nam. Out of that, Adityanam Aham Vishnu. Aditya is one who Krishna is saying, Vishnu, I am Vishnu. Adityanam Aham Vishnu. There is 12 Adityas, among them there is one Aditya by the name Vishnu. I am that, says Krishna. And Aham Adityanam Aham Vishnu. Jyotisham Ravi Amshuman. Of all the brilliant things which shines and very powerful in this world, in its effulgence, is the sun. So therefore I am that. Jyotisham Ravi. Among all the powerful illuminations in this world, I am sun. Then, Marijar Marudam Asmi Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. Among the Devas, Marijar Marudam Asmi. Among the Devadas, I am Marut, Krishna says. And among the stars, I am the moon. Among the stars, I am the moon. So, here Aditi Devi, that means Kashyapa Prajapati had two wives, isn't it? Who are they? Didi and Aditi. And Aditi's son, children are these 12 Adityas. Adityas have come from Aditi. And Vishnu is one of the 12 Adityas. So Krishna appears as the son of Vamanamurti. Krishna appears as Vamanamurti, as the son of Aditi and Kashyapa Prajapati, isn't he? Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi, they practically has taken over whole Bhagavatam stories. Isn't it? If you look at it, you can see. The third canto onwards, they start. Didi Devi created the, gave birth to Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So all the way through, they have done that. And from Aditi came Indra and so many other devadas. They are all children of Aditi Devi. And between Aditi and Didi, two wives, Kashyapa Prajapati had a very hard time between these two wives, isn't it? One saying to Kashyapa Prajapati that I want a son who will kill the children of the other wife. And equally, the opposite way also. It just happened like that. So here you can see that Aditi's son, Adityanam Aham Vishnu, Aditi's son, Krishna is saying here, he didn't say as a separate person. What he says here, because everything is coming from Krishna, everything is coming from Krishna. Krishna's devotees will say that it is Krishna. Vamanamurti is Krishna. It's because devotees will say like that, isn't it? But it is difficult to say Krishna is a person here. Krishna is a person here. Because if you think about it, earlier Krishna is in the last verse, he said, Aham Atma Gudakesha. That is where Krishna's position is, that Atma of everyone. So devotees will say, yes, it's Krishna has come as Vamanamurti. That's okay, that's fine enough. You can say from a devotional aspect. But from the spiritual aspect, if you look at it, it is from the same Aham Atma Gudakesha who has come as Vamanamurti. As Vamanamurti. And we'll say that Krishna has come as Vamanamurti, if we want to personalize it. But if you look from the spiritual platform purely, it is that same Atma who has come as Vamanamurti also. We call it, it is easier for us to make it in a personal level, isn't it? We find it very comfortable. As soon as we get to know somebody, people will ask always this question. I've heard this so many times, people asking this question, who was he in his previous life? We want to find out. Suppose you get to know, people will ask, who was Nanda Maharaj? How is he become like that? Who was he before? They'll say. Or they'll ask, who is Yashoda Devi? Who was she before? So people have always this way of seeing things. They are thinking that I am a person, Yashoda is a person, Nanda Maharaj is a person. So nobody is asking us, who were you before? If somebody asks me, who were you before, what will I say? All I know is I came from the animal kingdom not long ago. That's my record. I think most of us have that record, isn't it? But still, we will ask this question. Nanda Maharaj, as you say, Nanda Maharaj, Uddhava, people ask, who was Uddhava before? So we need an answer for that. In Puranam, that's all taken care of very well. Puranas always wants to present it that way, so that somehow you stay in the spiritual life. That's the idea behind it. Now, if you ask someone, who were you before? What was he before that? So if you keep asking this, where is the question going to end? It's not. So it is difficult to say Krishna is purely a person here, because that Antaryami is who is coming like this, who comes in the form of Vamanamurti, who comes in the form of Narasimhamurti, who comes in different forms. So Aham Atma Gudakesha, when Krishna says like that, Aham is very much in reference to that Antaryami. based on the Antaryami. You cannot simply take it as simply Krishna is saying. Otherwise, what will happen is Krishna is here 5,000 years ago and Krishna has gone back after the Kurukshetra war. He has gone back. Now, I have to believe that Krishna is saying like this, that Aham Alpa Kutakesha, but at the same time we are saying that Krishna has spoken 5,000 years ago and gone. Does that mean that Krishna has no presence here now in this world? Easier thing is to take this Aham Alpa Kutakesha seriously, and from there all the incarnations are coming. If you take it that way, there won't be much difficulty in explaining the different appearances. Otherwise, people will ask so many questions, will come from that, and you may not have the able to answer those questions. It's a great practical difficulty it is. Okay, as a Puranam, you can say this, he was this incarnation. Like, people ask this question, when you make it like that, Ramachandra's case, Lord Ramachandra, we say Ramachandra is Krishna's incarnation, isn't it? Krishna's incarnation is Ramachandra. There are many people who believe Ramachandra is the origin, and from all other incarnations have come. There's also that thing. Some people believe Vishnu as the source, isn't it? Vishnu's incarnations, Ramachandra, Krishna and other things. And there are others who believe Narayana is the source, origin. So when you make it on a different name and form, this difficulty will come, there will be always disagreement. Like Ramanuja Sampradayam, Narayana is supreme there. Krishna is not supreme, Narayana is supreme there. In Gaudiya Sampradayam, Krishna is supreme. So this supreme and all, based on a particular form you are identifying with and making these conclusions, isn't it? Whereas Aham Alpa Kutakesha has no such strings attached to it. It's always present as Antaryami in everyone and always present as consciousness everywhere. As Aham, it can come in any form, anywhere, at any time when it is required. But Puranam, they will discuss it in this particular way. So here, Krishna is again here, Amshuman. Amshuman means sun, Jyotisham Ravihi. So many things are effulgent in this world, and among all the things what is effulgent here, Krishna is saying, I am the sun. I am the sun. In other words, if you want to see Krishna's effulgence, look at the sun. That's what Krishna is saying here. After seeing the sun, if you have not felt Krishna's presence there, even if Krishna comes here now in the four-handed form, club, conch shell, disc and lotus flower, you will not be able to recognize him as Krishna. So powerful is this vibhuti, Krishna's vibhuti. That means, of course, our difficulty is that we don't see the sun and we don't look at the sun even if he comes. This is our problems, isn't it? But actually, why Bhagavad Gita is saying this to us, says to us that if you look at the sun and if you have not felt Krishna's presence there, even if he comes here in the four-handed form with conch shell, disc, lotus flower and the club in the hand, you won't feel any difference. You won't think it is Krishna. Because we see him every day, we don't know about his glories, isn't it? As you know that, everything that operates in the creation is because of the sunlight. You can experience that for a longer period of time when there is no sunshine, how it affects our own consciousness, isn't it? So, and not only that, if you have continuously like that for a long time, what illnesses and disease you can get from there. So many in the natural treatments, they have sunlight as a cure for many illnesses. They have sunlight as a cure. So that effulgence of the sun planet, Krishna is saying, it's me. It is me. So also you will notice another thing, the rishis, the sages, all their daily anushtanam, anushtanam means daily routine karmam, activities what they perform, is all centered around the sun. It's all centered around the sun. For example, all the sandhyavandanam, three times they have to, their prayers, every day, three times, sandhyavandanam, all the mantras related to Sandhyavandanam, they are all they are all related to sun, related to sun, because Krishna's presence is there in the sun. So Krishna is appearing in front of them in the form of Aditya present there. So all these things is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita to create bhakti inside, to create bhakti inside. So why should we think that only in the temple there can be bhakti? Why that is not possible to create? Krishna is standing in front of us with full effulgence and we are not able to recognize him. And we think that you have to go to the temple and push and pull and everything, and then you have to find Krishna there. So so that is why it says here, the Kamvayum Agnim Salilam Mahim Cha Janeshu Satveshu Dishodrumadin Saril Samudram Chahare Shariram Ilkinja Bodham Pranamed Ananyaha. You notice here, Pipalayana Maharshi, when he spoke about Krishna, he presented Krishna in that way, isn't it? Hari Maharshi, out of the nine sages. Hari, what did he say? Khamvayu Magnim Salilam. He did not say about Krishna's other forms, neither Vishnu nor Narayana nor Krishna's form. Rather, he said that the highest form, what he is seeing is that in all creation, this presence of Antaryami there. Now you look at this way. If you look into the second chapter of the 11th canto, when they talked about three types of devotees, the first class devotees' qualifications, what did he say there? Sarva bhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam alpana. He is the first class devotee. Is it not? So he did not say that one goes to this temple, that temple, or this form or that form. No. First class devotee is that one. Sarva bhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam. Again coming back to the same verse. Aham alma gudakesha. Can you see that? In the Bhagavadam, when Navayogi is asked Nimi this question, Bhagavata Dharmam, symptoms of a devotee. This is the first question Kavi answered, Bhagavata Dharmam. Who spoke? Kavi spoke, Bhagavata Dharmam. Second question was symptoms of a devotee. Symptoms of a devotee. So that is when Hari answered that. Hari answered that question. While he answered that question, he said, Sarva bhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam altmana. Bhudani bhagavat yesha savai bhagavadottama. First class devotee is that person who sees Krishna's presence within himself and who sees that very presence of Krishna is present in everyone. That is first class devotee. Is it not? So from this you can see that what Hari Maharshi has spoken there, what Krishna is saying in this verse, are exactly the same. Is it not? What is Krishna saying? Aham alma gudakesha sarva bhutashayastida. So important is this realization. That's what I am saying. This realization, aham alma gudakesha, is the most important realization, because it is this realization that makes you a first class devotee. That is why it's important. If you realize this, aham alma gudakesha, then what happens? You are that devotee which is categorized as the first class type of devotee. Sarva bhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam altmana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. He is the best of all, he said. So that is why when you see this verse, the impact of this verse in all areas, you have to look at. That from Bhagavadam point of view, you can see a first class devotee is this person who is seeing this. This is not to bring down others. That's not the idea behind it. What we have to understand, the tattvam. Tattvam is more important. Tattvam should be clear in us. It is no point in saying somebody who has worshipped the deity for years and years, but simply thinking the deity is there, it's a stone, and I worship the deity. But if he has not come to this realization then his deity worship is all remains in that state only. It hasn't gone very far. That is the most important thing. So progress is necessary, and progress means we have to know where each level of realization remains. So it is coming back to that. Krishna is saying here that so our because we got addicted to the forms to such an extent that we have come to this ignorant understanding that form is everything. There's nothing else outside the form. Form is necessary. Form is not rejected. Form is necessary. That's also a state of realization. But looking into Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, you can see that through from this verse, how it has gone and made these conclusions about even the great rishis like Pipalayana Maharshi, Hari and others, when they are talking about it, they are always centered around this Antaryami, not on the deity in the temple. Not on the deity in the temple. I mentioned about this also before, that in the Pipalayana Maharshi's prayers, if you look there, Pipalayana Maharshi says there, isn't it? He says there, it is in the third chapter, I think, on the 11th canto, when he answers this question. Yeah, third chapter, verse 35 to 40. 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 heavy verses. Very heavy verses. Sthiti, sthityul bhava pralaya hetura heturasya, yel swapna jagara susuptishu sadbahischaha, dehendriya sukhadayani charandiyena, sanjeevitani tadavehi param narendra. Naidanmano vishadi vaguda chakshuralpa, pranendriyani yathanalamarchishaswal, shabdobi bodhaka nishedhatay alpamoolam, arthokta mahayadadena nisheda siddhim, sattvam rajastama idi trurdega madau, sutram mahanaham idi pravadandi jivam, jnanakriyartha bhayarubadayoru shakti, brahmaiva bhadi sadasachadayo param yal. Alma jajanana marishadi naithade sau nakshiyade savana vidhivicharinam hi sarvatra shasya aba shasya naba anabaya ubalabdhi matram prano yadhendriya velena vikalpidam sad andeshu peshishu tarushu avinishchideshu prano hi jiva upadavadi tatra tatra sanne yadindriya ganeham ija prasupte Ganeha Mijab Prasupte Kudastam Ashayamrade Tadanu Smadirnaha Yarhabjanaba Charane Shanayoru Bhaktya Chedomalani Vithamed Gunakarma Jani Yasmin Vishud Tasmin Vishuddha Ubalabhyadam Almadatvam Sakshat Yatha Amaladrisho Savitra Prakashaha. So every verse in that is directed towards Antaryami inside, keeping the Antaryami in the forefront. So therefore you can say that this Antaryami realization, all the rishis take it very seriously. It is based on that all the Upanishads are structured. Upanishads time there was not even deity worship. Deity worship even didn't exist because it goes ways beyond the Krishna's appearance in this world. Deity worship has started, it is mentioned in the third canto somewhere at the end of Traidayagam or Dwaparayugam, it has come into practically into existence, the deity worship and the form of worship. But prior to that, in Satyugam, Traidayagam and all, the whole center was centered around this principle of Antaryami worship. So but in nowadays, of course, it's changed, isn't it? Everything has changed to such an extent that things change, do change like that. That we have in the age Kali, we find it very, very difficult to think in the way the people in the Satyugam has thought or they kept their spiritual life. And also even in Traidayugam, what you see, you can't see it today. What even in Dwaparayugam, even today deity worship has become very difficult. It has come down to that state, is it not? Nowadays, if you say to someone about the sea, there is Krishna's presence there in the sea. Saril samudramscha hare shariram. And if you ask him, where is the sea? he will show you on the computer screen the sea. That's where you see Krishna, in the computer screen. So, sorry. In the computer screen. So that's how we are now. Our vision of sea also is like that through the computer. this is the difficulty. So that is why he says here, and that therefore in the Bhagavatam, that that first thing, even one cannot see the sea or other things, at least the sun is something which should be taken note of. Therefore he is referred to as Surya Narayan, Narayan who is present in the you will see in the Vaidika system, Brahmanas chanted Gayatri. All their three Sandhyavandanam is based on sun. Gayatri they chant looking at the sun, standing in the river while bathing. They pay Surya Namaskaram, thousands of offering obeisances to the sun. And living in this world depending on the sun. Therefore, waking up before the sun comes, Brahma Muhurtam, as Krishna mentions that, and not to sleep at those times at least, not to sleep during those hours. Same time, Sandhya Samayam, in the evening hours also while sun leaves. Unfortunately, we have a new generation now who actually don't know where the sun rises or where the sun sets. Many people think that there's a hole in the sky through that sun comes out like electric bulb or something in the day. So anyway, so these divine things in this world, like the sun, the mountains, this approach has to be there in their life, has to be there in their life. And it was there all over the world at one time. It has slowly, it has gone away from the society. So, so many places this difficulty has come, that when we have rejected Krishna's presence in this world as different manifestations, if we do not look at them, and then when we go to the temple and we find in the temple also there are problems with many places, there is difficulties with the temple as well, isn't it? And many instances the people who manage the temples also may not have that proper understanding. And therefore they will not follow the Shastram rigidly, the Rishi's instructions properly, or the Shruti, whatever it may be. And it creates problems in all those situations. We are seeing all those things, what happens in the temple, and we start thinking this is bhakti, this is bhakti. So so Krishna says here, in one instance, that in the advanced devotees who have lived with the nature, who have proper realization from spiritual life, they will not ignore these aspects. There was a famous sannyasi, Agamananda Swamiji, at one time, long ago he lived. He went to see in one house, he was visiting there, and there was another personality who was outside sitting in the veranda. And this personality, he was well known for his realized state in spiritually. And the devotees inside the house, they were worshipping him with the photograph. The actual person is sitting outside and they're worshipping his photo inside, doing arati and offering everything to him. So Agamananda Swamiji walked into that house. He knocked at the door and he told them, you stop this worship. The person whom you are worshipping is sitting in the veranda outside and you are worshipping inside. This is how we are. Krishna is present here in so many forms in front of us. And instead of taking any notice of it, we'll go inside in somewhere in the temple and say, this is the only place I'll worship Krishna. So this situation, Rishis are saying to us, here also you can see, Adityanam Aham Vishnu, Jyotisham Ravi Amshuman, Marichir Marutam Asmi, Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. So why did Krishna say that? Said, this light what comes from the sun, we can see it for some time. The light from the sun, Krishna says it is a much important object for meditation. Much important object for meditation. And in meditation class people go for meditation purposes, isn't it? And on the other hand, the way the birds sing in the morning, or the clear sky, the land, the forest, the mountains, the sea, all these things, if we see them, naturally the mind becomes peaceful. Everyone experiences that, isn't it? You go to the seashore and looking at the sun sea alone, you feel a certain shanti that comes inside. Not by seeing TV all the time, you won't get the shanti. It will only create more distress inside. So that is what he says here. Marichir marutam asmi nakshatranam aham shashi. Among the maruts I am marichi. Among the maruts I am marichi. And among the stars I am the moon. Moon is not a star, but moon has taken as a star here for two reasons. One is for those who are looking from here, for them moon appears as a star. Moon appears as a, among the stars, it is the most effulgent ones, those who are present there. Stars are further away from the moon, isn't it? Moon is very closer to us. And apart for two reasons. One, moon is the most shining star among all the stars for those who are looking from here. And after, apart from the sun, the next planet which influences our life maximum is the moon. These are the two reasons why moon is spoken. Nakshatranam aham shashi. So because based on the moon, or depending on the moon, the mind functions, which we all know. It has a direct impact on the mind, the moon. That is why these words, lunar and lunatic and all these things, have come from the moon. From the moon. Those in the rishis noticed that from the new moon day to the full moon day, they looked at the mind, how the mind changes, the effect of the new moon and the full moon on the mind. On the mind, like we can see this tide and waves, how the tide happens, low tide and high tide, exactly like it happens on the water. Similar way, the moon has an influence on the mind as well. Rishis knew this very well. From the new moon day to the full moon day, new moon day to the full moon day, in the same way. And if you observe also, you will see, you have to look at your own mind at that time. Only then you will notice this. Not sit for 1 second and look. No. You have to sit peacefully for an hour or so. And in a very slow pace, if you look at yourself, you will see the impact of the change of this moon's appearance and disappearance within us. How it is happening in a very subtle level. They knew that very well. You will notice this yourself, how the moon is disturbed, mind is disturbed at some time, and some other time mind is in a very peaceful state, depending on the presence of the moon. Exactly, moon creates impact in the water, in the sea, low tide and high tide. It has an effect on the mind also in the same way. Those who are in the platform of the mind, why we don't get disturbed over it, why we are not noticing these things, we are not even in the platform of the mind. That's why we are in the platform of the body. Only those who are in the manomandalam, they can notice it. Manomandalam. We are in the sharira mandalam, the bodily platform. We are, all we are looking at is this body okay? Majority of the people all concerned about if this body is okay. Never we think of the mind is okay or not, do we? Because we are not even in the mental platform, what to talk about spiritual platform. As long as the body is okay, we are okay. And that is how we see things. So, so those who have noticed these things, they know that the impact of the moon on the mind is such that you will be alert at that time. Not to, but of course, to live in this way, it's very difficult to keep, because we haven't got the time for it, isn't it? So it's just a, how it affects the influence of the moon on the mind can be noticed if we are a little bit peaceful to observe these things. And you will notice these changes in, it's based on this also. In astrology they calculate. It's there. 3 days, around 3 days in a month, they calculate based on when the moon enters into the eighth house, they say the effect of the moon brings all the other changes. They're considered to be the worst period in a month for a person, particular born in a particular star. All those calculations you will see there. So astrology also has taken the influence of the moon on us in their calculations. So when the moon is having this impact on the water, high tide, low tide, in our body, you have to remember, 70% is water. Isn't it? 70% of the body is water. That we agree, scientists also agree. So that water inside the body has its effect also on that. So many movements are happening inside the body because of these changes in the moon's position. Therefore, you can see, as much as the sun has the influence, the moon also has the influence in our life here. We are not taking into account any of these things, isn't it? All we know is something goes wrong, paracetamol, straight away. 500 milligrams, 2 or 4, up to 8 you can have it. Nobody will stop you. So this is our solution to the problem. So the thing is that why these things are happening, that is what we have to understand. That's why Krishna is telling us that nakshatranam adityanam aham vishnu jyotisham ravi amshuman marijar marudam asmi nakshatranam aham shashi. So nakshatranam aham shashi, very powerful influence in life. Equally influences adityanam aham vishnu. Therefore, adityanam aham vishnu. Vishnu, sun, Krishna is the sun who is influencing us. So everything in this creation is connected each other. So, and similarly, many movements in this body. In other words, even if you cut a small grass in the land, it will have its effect in the star. It will have its effect on the star. It has its movements affected. Star's movement is affected. In other words, everything in this creation is interconnected, is connected to each other. Nothing is separate. We are thinking separate everything, isn't it? And that is the biggest mistake Krishna is saying, that everything is connected to each other. And this is the reason why they're saying to us, because everything is connected to each other, in our karmam, we have to be the greatest care. You have to take in the karmam what you do in this world. Karmam, greatest jagrada. Because everything is connected to each other. And that is why when we have done certain things, even if we have not, deliberately you may not have done it, but the reaction won't go. Because it has already made its move in the creation. It has already created a wave in the creation by the karma, what we have done. So subtle is this karma that whatever action you have done in this world, its effect is already there in the creation. So also those who meditate on the who perform forms on the meditation, you will see in the discussion on the meditation in the 12th chapter. In the 11th canto, discussed, he said, that meditation process. You have to see the sun first inside the hall. Inside that there is moon, and inside the moon you see the form in the meditation. That is the process. The sun, and in that moon, and inside the moon the form. So Shiva, Parvati, Vishnu, various forms people worship, and all of them they take this into account. Sun and moon is taken noticeable there. So all this Krishna is saying here in these verses, that when Krishna has spoken this, the presence of the moon, presence of the sun, we shouldn't think, I should go and look at that moon when I get there. That's not what is intended. What Krishna is saying, while living here, from here you look at the moon and understand the importance of moon. What we do is, we will go there and find out what's in the moon. That gross mind, how it operates. Krishna is talking to us a very subtle thing. Because Krishna's creation, Krishna knows how this creation works more than anybody else. And Krishna is saying to us, these planets are positioned in such a way, and in them my presence is there, and I operate through them. I operate through them. And Krishna has spoken to us, we can also experience that. Little bit subtlety is necessary. Presence of the sun, how it is affecting us. Presence of the moon, how it is affecting us. Now, from that is sufficient for us to know, to develop this understanding of seeing Krishna's presence in them. That is sufficient. We don't need to go there to find out whether it is all true. This is our nature. If Krishna has spoken, suppose somebody reads these words, if he is a scientist, he will say, well, you have to find out when you get there, we will see. And what happens there? When you go to the moon, then you want to make other plants there. Is there any gold there? Or is there any oil there? You start digging there. All these kind of ideas come. So you've gone there from Nakshatranam Aham Shashi, Krishna says. Krishna says, you don't have to go there to find out. Staying here, accept it this way. Accept it this way. So it is a mystery it is. It's very difficult to understand and difficult to explain that also. We have to see them from the distance. From the distance. Sometimes, if you get too closer, that effect may not be there. When you get closer to the moon, you may not get that effect. And you can see, when you get closer to the moon, the mind will start operating. Mind will start operating. That is, it's Chandrama Manaso Jadaha. Chandrama Manaso Jadaha. So, Krishna's mind is moon. Krishna's mind is moon. In other words, moon is Krishna's another form. Moon is Krishna's another. Everything is subtle. It is difficult to explain it more than this. What is spoken, the way we have to honor these personalities, in the moon and the sun. The indications Krishna has given to us, how the sun is affecting us, how the moon is affecting us. Keeping that, we have to accept Krishna's presence in them. That's all it is required. Nothing more than that. Anything else, trying to go through the science route and trying to understand this, you won't understand that. If you start researching through the science and trying to find out after going to the moon what Krishna has said is true, and then you will come back and say, oh no, there is nobody there, there is no water there, there is no, like the scientists, they come out. That is all the gross nature in them. They are not understood that. Bhagavad Gita is not talking about that side. Maya can trick us very easily. It will completely change the whole thing and put us in an awkward situation. Next, look at the next verse, 22. Vedanam samavedosmi, Devanam asmi vasava, Indriyanam manaschasmi, Bhudanam asmi chetana, Vedanam samavedosmi, Devanam asmi vasava, Indriyanam manaschasmi, Bhudanam asmi chetana. Of the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. Of the demigods, I am Indra. Of the senses, I am the mind. And in living beings, I am the living force, knowledge. Bhudanam asmi chetana. So, Vedanam samavedosmi. And Devanam asmi vasava. Vedanam madhye samavedaha asmi. Devanam rudra adityanam vasava indraha asmi. Indriyanam ekadashanam chakshuradinam manacha asmi. Sangalpa vigalpatmagam manacha asmi. Bhudanam asmi chedana karya karana sanghade nitya abhivyaktam buddhi vritti chedana. This is the bhashyam, commentary on that. Vedanam madhye samaveda asmi, devanam rudra adityanam vasava indra asmi, indriyanam ekadashanam chakshuradinam manacha asmi, sankalpa vigalpalmagam manacha asmi,
ഭൂതാനാം അസ്മി ചേതന കാര്യകാരണ സംഘാതി നിത്യ അഭിവ്യക്ത ബുദ്ധിവൃത്തി ചേതന. Now, we have here four Vedam, isn't it? Out of the three are important, Rig Vedam, Yajur Vedam, and Sama Vedam. Rig Vedam is full of stuti, glorifications of different forms of the Antaryamis, different forms. യജുർവേദം യജുർവേദം ഈസ് മന്ത്രം ഫുൾ ഓഫ് മന്ത്രസ് ഫോർ ദി സാക്രിഫൈസസ് കർമ്മപ്രധാനം ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് ഓർ മന്ത്രപ്രധാനം റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് വിത്ത് കർമ്മകാന്ഡം ആൻഡ് റിലേഷൻ ഓൾ റിട്ടൺ ഇൻ ദ ഫോം ഓഫ് മന്ത്രം ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൾ മന്ത്രം വിച്ച് വൺ യജുർവേദം ഋഗ്വേദം ഈസ് സ്തുതി ഗ്ലോറിഫിക്കേഷൻസ് സാമവേദം ഈസ് മ്യൂസിക് ഗാനാത്മകം ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾ സങ് ഇൻ എ പെർട്ടിക്കുലർ വേ. So, these three Vedam, one who has studied, three different benefits derive from that. For example, Rig Vedam makes a person, because of its glorifying nature, stuti, it creates humility inside. Remember I mentioned this before, when he saw Anjaneya Swami, Hanuman, Ramchandra says he has studied all the three Vedam properly. You could see that in him, the effect of that. So the effect of Rigvedam is, what is that Vinayam? Humility. Humility in a person. That is the immediate effect. One who has studied Rigvedi Brahmana, if you look particularly, in the, among the Brahmana community also, there are followers of Rigvedis, followers of Yajurvedis, and followers of Samavedis, and some people study all the Vedas, depending on their place of birth or whichever traditions they have come from. So Rigvedis generally, you will notice this, the humility in them because of the chanting of this Rigvedic mantra. Even if they have not understood the meaning, just by the very vibration of the Rigveda mantra, Rigveda stuti, humility develops in a natural way in them. Yajurvedam gives another quality, Dharana Shakti. Dharana Shakti means capacity to absorb things. The power of those mantras, Yajurveda mantra is like that. You will develop that Dharana Shakti. Dharana Shakti means that anything once spoken, capture that straight away. That power of memory and power of absorption is very high among the Yajurvedis. And Samavedam develops Vaidushyam. Vaidushyam means that that they will feel extreme bliss inside, in their heart, happiness is a symptom of that. So that is why Krishna is saying here that among the Vedas, I am Samavedam, Krishna says here. So you can see, when do we sing? When you are in a happy mood, isn't it? That's when you sing. That is the indication of that effect of Samavedam in the person. That is also to show to us that Samavedam brings happiness inside. Brings happiness. Three different things, that's all. Samavedam brings that happiness inside. Yajurvedam brings Medha Shakti. That's Medha Suktam and all in the Vedam. What it brings is that power of absorption, very strong in the Yajurvedam. In Rigvedis, they bring the humility. Humility. Humility means what? Freedom from the false ego, isn't it? Which we are all want to have. So Rigvedam helps in that direction. Yajurvedam helps in another direction. Samavedam helps in a third direction. In three different directions, it's all. Upanishad says that in order to realize the truth, people send the samaganam, they say. So after realizing the truth, they will chant samavedam. After realizing the truth, because that's when the bliss comes inside. Edan samagayana sneham daha ahamaha ahamana ahamannaha. There is a tune in which the Samavedam is sung. Very musical way they sing that. So, so in lot of these Samaveda mantra, there is a special meter in which they sing that. Ha 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 ha. It feels like that.
So just like you are tired for whole day after working outside and you're getting home, and when you get home, how you feel? Ha! That mood is there in the Samaganam when they sing the Samavedam. So that relaxed mood, that relaxation, what you feel. Rishi is saying everything to us. Rishis are saying to us that once you have reached that destination, how you feel that? In the same way, when self-realization happens, you feel the same thing. Ah, I got here at the end. I'm there. Isn't it? So that feeling comes from, it comes expressed through the Samaganam, Samavedam. So that is that state that one talk about when self-realization, when we say, it means also that division has gone inside. At the moment we have a lot of divisions inside, isn't it? We based on male, female, nationality, religion, and place of birth, and so many things, there is whole divisions in the society. And that division is in every one of us. We have got divisions inside. Once all the divisions disappear, what will happen? That is what Krishna is saying here. That the that the food what you eat, the creation what is there, and you are not seeing any difference between any of them. That the difficulty is that when you come to the bodily identity, you create more divisions within you. You create more divisions within you, is it not? You can see that with the bodily identification, how deeply we are fallen from the truth. The more you are identified with the body, more you are away from the truth. The truth is that there is no practically, there's one Atma present within everyone. That is the pure concept, pure truth. From there we have fallen down into individual souls and then to individual bodies, individual egos, and even that bodies we have hundreds of different designations with that. This is all our fallen condition it is it not? Which we call it as adhyasam. Due to adhyasam it has happened in that way. So in Yanamargam what they are trying to do is that all the adhyasam is removed, thrown away one after the other, and comes back to that one truth, what is existing behind everything, what is addressed as the truth. So here Krishna is saying here that Samavedam when can only be sung at that stage, when you come to that state. Like remember yesterday we discussed about this, the knowledge in the mode of goodness, knowledge in the mode of passion, knowledge in the mode of ignorance. Most of our knowledge is in the last two, either in the mode of ignorance or in the mode of passion. When we have moved away to the mode of goodness, what happens? This variety and variegations, variegatedness all goes away. All our realization is based on the soul and only soul, nothing else. Totally from the bodily level you moved away from this, isn't it? That is the Sattugunam. And Krishna is Avibhaktanja Vibhakteshu. Isn't it? That's what Krishna said. That verse is so important in the 18th chapter if you look. Avibhaktanja Vibhakteshu. I think it is the 20th verse or something. Here. Avibhaktam Vibhakteshu Taljnanam Vidhi Sattvikam. Krishna says. Avibhaktam Vibhakteshu. It is all different today for us. But while everything is so different here, in all these different forms, there is one avibhaktam, which is not broken. It appears to us it's broken. What you are seeing is all broken. This segregation, again and again, separation, one to another, is rajasam. When that separation goes away, comes to that oneness, the truth in everything, avibhaktam vibhakteshu tat jnanam vidhi sattvikam, vidhi svatvikam. You will see the purport also, Prabhupada mentions that a person who sees one spirit soul in every living being, whether a demigod, human being, animal, bird, beast, aquatic, plant, possesses knowledge in the mode of goodness. Knowledge in the mode of goodness. In all living entities, one spirit soul is there. Although they have different bodies in terms of their previous work, As described in the 7th chapter, manifestation of the living force in every body is due to the superior nature of the Supreme Lord. Thus, to see that one superior nature, that living force in everybody, is to see in the mood of goodness. That living energy is imperishable, although the bodies are perishable. The difference is perceived in terms of the body, because there are many forms of material existence in conditional life, therefore they appear to be divided. Such impersonal knowledge finally leads to self-realization. So you can see here, Krishna is saying that all these Vedam, as I mentioned yesterday also, that there was only one Vedam, even that is broken into four due to the same Pratakbhavam. Pratakbhavam means separation, breaking business. So this breaking tendency is in us, that is conditioned nature, to break all the time. And we think that is progress, is it not? Science is telling us that's progress, Vedantam telling us it's degradation. If you break and break, it is degrading. If you avoid breaking, staying in the truth means there's one realization. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, Veda Pramanyam, Jagraha Padyam Rigvedam, Samam Sangeetam Evaja, Yajurvedad Abhinayad Rasam Atharvanadavi, mentions here. That means, Krishna says here, I am among the Vedam Samavedam. Among the Indra, I am. Why Krishna says I am Samavedam? Because Samavedam is that quality in him, that blissful nature of the soul. That is what it is. The pure blissful nature of the soul is Samavedam. Similarly, now talking about Indra. That's the next one, isn't it? Devanam Asmi Vasava. So, in the Vedam, the statement is that there are, where Indra has taken different forms and he is present in this creation in different forms for the management of the creation. So, and also in the Rigvedam, a lot of glorifications is addressing Indra. So therefore Indra is Krishna's another form. And also in many mantram, in the Vedam also, Indra is addressed like that. Now, there's one problem here. When you hear about Indra from Puranam, you will understand Indra in one way, isn't it? But if you look through Vedam, you will see Indra in a different way. That also is important. When you study Puranam, for example in Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice about Indra, you consider him as not a very nice person, isn't it? Indra's presence in the Bhagavatam is like that. He has done a lot of mistakes, created a lot of problems for so many people. And Krishna is saying, so it is not taking into account of the Puranam, it is spoken like that. That you have to remember. These statements in the Bhagavad Gita is based on the Vedam, not based on the Puranam. That is what Krishna is saying here. Puranam, you will see Indra as a king and performing many war and going creating trouble for great sages when they are performing meditation, sending Apsaras women there to you will think about Indra in a very funny way. You'll start thinking, what this kind of person is this, Indra? He's a character in the Puranam. So it's not addressing that Indra, it's spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's Indra is referring to the Indra in the Vedam. The Indra in the Vedam and Indra in the Puranam is different. Not in the form of body we are talking about. Not in the form of the body. That's like when you say Vishnu in the Vedam and Vishnu in the Puranam is different. Shiva in the Vedam and Shiva in the Puranam is different. When you bring it as a Puranic character, influence of in the Puranam, as he is, because it's closer to our heart. Those who study Puranam seriously are those who are very close to the bodily identity. That's a known thing, that you study Puranam very seriously, you get attracted to Puranam very much because of your close identification with the body. Why? Because Puranam is, you can study it easier for those who are in the bodily concept, isn't it? Because Puranam is stories, we like stories, and Puranic presentation is like that. Family life and king, ministers fighting each other, war, weapons, and explaining the creation, all these things in the Puranam you'll find. Don't find all these things in the Upanishads everywhere. So therefore, but ordinary people will get attracted to Puranam. So why in Puranam, so therefore all these personalities, Shiva, Vishnu, Rudra, and all of them in the Vedam, when they are brought to Puranam and they are presented, you will see them various changes in their personalities. Personalities. Just like when we read, there's so many things, questions will come from all these things. And we will get completely confused at that stage. That Puranams, when it comes, you will see some places. In Bhagavatam, there is Krishna and Shiva fighting. Krishna won. In other Puranam, Shiva has won. Shiva has fought with Krishna and he has won. So then you will start thinking, here we read like this, Krishna has won, there Shiva has won. And somewhere else you will see something different again. So people get confused all these things. Here you said like Krishna has won, Krishna is control, Krishna has managed to win against Shiva. There Shiva has managed to win against. In Mahabharatam itself you will see this in so many places. In some places in Mahabharatam, Krishna is even spoken as incarnation of Shiva. It's there in Mahabharatam, you can see that. So all these things are there in the Puranam Itihasam. Itihasam means Ramayana, Mahabharatam, they are all Itihasams. And in Puranams, all explanations are given like this. But if you go back to Upanishads and the Vedam, they are speaking from a different level. And this Indra, what is addressed here, is the Indra of the Vedam. Indra of the Vedam. So, Indra in the Vedam is Krishna's manifestation. Krishna's manifestations. And in the stories, he is presented like us, having envy towards other rishis, always keeping a watch on the rishis, whether they're going to come and take over his position. This is our nature, isn't it? We project all that on Indra as well. In different moods, Indra will come like that. So from Puranam, there is an impression of Indra in our mind, isn't it? If you study only Bhagavatam, no other book, you will get an impression about Indra completely different. You will think, oh, he is a real character who creates a lot of trouble. And especially with Govardhana Hill, that pastime, and similarly how he tried to create problem, how he got frightened of Hiranyakashipu, ran away from his palace and everything, and so many, how Marut Devas were born when he got into Didi Devi's womb and killed them into 7 times, 49 pieces, and him, 50 of them came out, and Didi Devi was performing that famous austerity to find someone who can kill Indra. All these stories in the Puranam are there. So when you read all that, you will get the feeling that this Indra is a very strange character. But it is not that Indra what is spoken here. That's the first thing to know. That this Indra, Krishna says here, that Pauraniya Indra, the Puranam, which is impressed in our brain, impression of Indra, you have to take that away when you read this. This Indra is the Indra of the Vedam, Krishna's manifestation this is. That's why he says, Vedanam Samavedosmi Devanam Asmi Vasava. Devanam Asmi Vasava. Indriyanam, then the next one. Therefore, many times people read these verses, they get a little difficulty when they read these verses because they do not look into this side of it. That Indra, whom they are, they already got an impression about Indra in their mind. We all have, isn't it? So we start thinking that Krishna is saying, I am Indra. Why Indra? Why not somebody else? You may ask the question there. But the reason is this, that this Indra is not the same Indra we are talking about in the Puranic Indra. It's the Indra of the Vedam, which is different. So, and then Krishna says, among all the senses, I am the mind. Isn't it? Indriyanam manaschasmi. Why did he say like that?
Indriyanam Manaschasmi. He says here, five senses and mind is the sixth sense. Mind is the sixth sense. Because you can see earlier Krishna said this in the seventh chapter. Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati. Already Krishna said mind is the sixth sense. Is it not? Bhumi Rabanalo Vayu Kamano Buddhi Revaja Ahangare Diyami Bhinna Prakriti Rashtada. There comes that verse. That Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati. You will see there. In that seventh chapter. Forget that. Beginning of that verse. Where Krishna says that 7-4? Yeah. Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshadi. That's the last two lines. Mamayvamsho Jivaloge, Jivabodha Sanadana. I forgot that. Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshadi. So already Krishna has said that. It's in the 15th chapter. Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshadi. So the sixth sense is the mind. Isn't it? Sixth sense is the mind. Vedanam samavedosmi devanam asmi vasava indriyanam manaschasmi bhudanam asmi chetana. So Krishna says here that all the manash prakritisthani karshadi, out of the five senses of knowledge, which you know, the eyes, ears, nose, the tongue and the touch, the five senses of knowledge, the root of all this is the mind, is it not? Because mind sees things through the eye, hears through the ears, smells through the nose. The effect is in the mind, not in the senses. Senses are there, the doors for the mind to go through to the world. But really, the impact of all the senses is in the mind, where it is happening. Like through the skin, the experience of touch. And similarly, hearing, tasting to the tongue. But the effect of everything is in the mind. Is in the mind. So also, you can notice this thing also. In the dream state, these senses which we use to operate in the world, we don't have it. Is it not? In the dream state. But the effect of everything is there in the dream state. In other words, the senses are pulled back into the mind and they are released from the mind. These are just holes in the body, eyes, ears and all that. But when the senses comes into operation, into the world, the mind has to release them. It all happens so fast, we don't take notice of that. But in the night time, when you are in the dream state, you withdraw the senses back into the mind. And that is why in the dream state, you can experience everything what you are experiencing in the waking state. Isn't it? You can see in the dream state, can you not? In the dream you are seeing clearly. There's no eyes there. In the dream you hear the sound. In the dream you can smell. In the dream you can feel the touch also. Everything, whatever the senses can offer you in the waking state, the mind can offer you in the dream state. The mind can offer you in the dream state. And mind is actually a force. We have talked about that before also. It is nothing but chitavrti. If you ask where is the mind is located, no answer. Nobody knows where this thing called mind is. So mind actually creates the senses, isn't it? Or mind is the source of the senses, in other words.
So therefore, because mind is the source of all the senses, Krishna is saying here, Indriyanam Manaschasmi. That's the reason. Now you can understand why. You can understand that why, isn't it? Because these source in senses has no effect if the mind is not there. Only because the mind is there, there is the effect of the senses. And whether in the vacant state or in the dream state, if the mind is not functioning, you cannot experience anything at that time. Therefore, Krishna is saying, of all the senses, I am the mind. That's one thing. So, so, because this nature of the mind, this mind is the most complicated thing in this body, most complicated thing. Therefore, Krishna also says here in the Bhagavadam, Durjayana Mahamana, of all the things to win over in this package, it is the mind which is the most difficult, and I am that. Krishna says, I am that mind. In the Bhagavadam, he says there, isn't it? Durjayanam Ahammana. Durjayanam Ahammana. I am the mind of all the forces which is most difficult to win over. Win over. So, we'll have a short break then. Chedo darpanam arjanam vavamaha Davagni nirvapanam Shreyakaidava chandriga vidaranam Vidyavadu jivanam Anandam budivardhanam pradipadam Purnamradaswadhanam Sarvatna sabanam param vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namnamagari Bahuda Nijasarvashakti Tatrarpida Nemida Smaranena Kala Edadrisham Dhavagriba Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrishamiha Janinanu Ragaha Tranara Vishuni Jena Tarurabi Sahishnuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari Najanam Nathanam Nasundarim Kavidamva Jagadishakamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwari Bhavadat Bhakti Rahidugi Tui Ainandatanuja Kingaram Patidamam Vishame Bhavambudo Kripayat Avapada Pangajastida Duli Sadrasham Vijindayam Gaidam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishaidam Shunyaidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahename Nayanam Galadashrutharaya Vadanam Gadgadarudhaya Gira Pulager Nijidam Kadavabu Tavannama Grahane Bhavishyadim Ashlishyava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyodhuva Yatha Tadhava Vidhadadalam Vada Matprananathastu Nayevana Paraha. So, so, among all the senses, Krishna says, I am the mind, for reasons what we have spoken before, isn't it? So, next one, Krishna says, that last one, Bhudanam Asmi Chedana, he says, isn't it? Indriyanam Manaschasmi, Bhudanam Asmi Chetana. What is Chetana? Chetana means consciousness. Consciousness. So, due to the presence of this Chetana, the presence of this Chetana, only due to that we are able to function, isn't it? Consciousness. Consciousness is Brahman, it says. Consciousness, Prajnanam Brahman. Prajnanam Brahma. One of the important statements in the Upanishads is Prajnanam Brahman. So, due to whose presence the bodies are moving in this world, mind and the senses function, and everything looks living, the experience of life, that presence is, Krishna says, that's me, that's me. Swami Ramatirtha, he had a very beautiful statement about this. He says, God sleep in rocks. He takes breath in plants. He moves about in animals. And he wakes up to consciousness in man. That's a very nice way of saying that. If you see in the woods of God realization, Ramatirtha's famous lectures, America, he says this. In God sleeps in rocks,
In other words, Chaitanyam or living force or consciousness varies, manifests in different ways in the creation. In the rocks it appears as though it's completely in a dull state. That's why it says God sleeps in the rocks. Then he says it takes a breath in the plants. In the plants you see some life there, so it's breathing. Then because animals are moving around, he says he's moving about, moves about in the animals. And then he says wakes up to consciousness in the man, because only in the man's body that this inquiry can start, self-inquiry, knowledge of the self. Not in the other things is possible, isn't it? So he is trying to wake up in the human body. Brahmava loga dishanam udamava deva. In the Bhagavatam you will see this. So this waking up Krishna inside of this consciousness, that is the job of Shastram. That is Shastram's work. That is what Shastram is written for, to wake up this consciousness inside. If it is sleeping like in the case of animals, then we are not different than the animals, isn't it? If this consciousness, animals have also same consciousness what we have, the trees have got consciousness, the rock also has got consciousness, but in the rock sits in a much more subdued way, in a hidden way, whereas in the man is much more in a developed state, in the human body. So therefore, this waking up Krishna inside, this Krishna, that consciousness is Krishna. Waking up Krishna inside is the duty of the Shruti Shastram. That is why if you remember when we studied Shruti Gita, the first verse itself, what does it say? Jaya Jaya Jahi Jahyama. The first verse in the Shruti Gita itself is asking Krishna to wake up inside. Asking Krishna to wake up inside, 87th chapter, in 10th canto. If you look there, we have talked about this before when we discussed the Shruti Gita. There jay 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 majita dosha gribida gunam tamasiya dalmana samavarudda samastha bhaga agajagadoga sam akhila shakti avabhodagate kochit ajayalmana jacharadonu jare nigamah. We discussed that verse earlier. I'm sure you remember all. Isn't it? We talked a lot about that verse when we discussed Shruti Gita. We have only done two or three verses. When we get time, we'll go through the rest. But anyway, so Jai Jai Jahya Jama Jida. We said there, who is asking to wake up? Shruti. Shruti is addressing whom? Andaryami inside to wake up. Because unless Andaryami wakes up, it won't happen inside. Isn't it? Unless Krishna wakes up inside, this is all Shastram is about. Unless Krishna wakes up inside, we won't have the realization of what we are, who we are, isn't it? So he has to wake up. That is why Jaya Jaya Jahya Jam Ajita Dosha Gribida Gunam Tomasi Yad Almanam Sam Avarudna Samastha Bhaga Agajagadoga Sam Agila Shaktyavabho Tagade Kojid Ajaya Almana Jajarano Nujare Nigamaham. The whole that class, if you want to go back and listen to it, it is there discussed in detail about that verse. In detail. So there the address is addressing Krishna. Krishna, you are sleeping in everyone's body inside. Wake up from that. Say addressing Krishna, isn't it? So, and remove all the ignorance in the person. Remove the ignorance in the person. And and Chetana Rupam. Chetana Rupam means in the form of consciousness. Sarva Bhudeshu Chetani Tyabhidiyade. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu chedanitya vidiyade namastase 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 namo nama. In the prayers to Devi Mahalmyam, you will see the same coming in another way, addressing the consciousness, wake up, wake up. So Yadevi sarvabhudeshu, there of course it is addressing Sri Parvati, who is present in everyone's as the consciousness, asking her to wake up from inside. But vastu is the same, whether you address as Krishna or Sri Parvati there, it doesn't matter. So, similarly, when a spiritual master is instructing his disciple, he does not instruct directly to the disciple. Actually, what he does is that the spiritual master asks the Andaryami inside the disciple
to wake up. That is what spiritual master supposed to do. He says to the disciple, not expecting the disciple to wake up, but the antaryami in the disciple's heart to wake up. Because that is what it is. And remove the ignorance from him. Remove the ignorance from him. Not direct. Because spiritual master knows that his mind does not, the disciple's mind does not have the capacity to know the tattvam. To know the tattvam. So, somehow or the other, you have to wake up Krishna inside the heart of that person. So, therefore, directly Guru will not speak to the disciple, to the mind. To the mind. If he speaks to the mind, anything to the disciple, it will go, where will it go? It will go to the mind of the disciple. And once it goes to the mind, what happens? You know what will happen. Spiritual master said something, he would interpret it in a different way, with the effect of the time. So, first thing is to wake up the antaryami inside, and addressing him, it is spoken. Everything what? That is why when you see in the in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and in many other places, for example, our, Jadabharata, who was instructing Rahugana, and also Dattatreya Maharshi instructing Yadu and all that. If you observe carefully, you will notice that it's a transmission from their soul consciousness directly to the consciousness of the disciple. When Krishna is talking to Uddhava Ekadasha Skandam, who is he talking to? Krishna is talking to himself, who is in Uddhava's heart. That is why everything happened so fast, because he is speaking to himself. And that's why Uddhava told this also to Krishna, that what you have decided, how much I should understand, you make the decision and accordingly you speak. Because Uddhava knows very well that whatever Krishna is speaking, Krishna within the heart has to wake up and accept it. Only then it will have its effect. Uddhava on his own can't understand. Uddhava says that there. How much? You want me to understand. You make the decision according to that much you tell me. Uddhava never said how much I am capable of understanding. No. Uddhava said how much you want me to understand, that much you tell me and I will have that. That's how he puts it to Krishna. Same thing with Arjuna also. Arjuna also says in the, if you look in the 11th chapter, you'll see that saying to Krishna that you are speaking all these things and I will only understand what you want me to understand. Not more than, not a little bit more than that. I won't understand. So the whole process is like that. Krishna speaking, Krishna listening. It is Krishna is always speaking and Krishna is listening. That is why remove that avidya inside, ajnanam inside, and direct teaching. Direct teaching, that is called direct teaching. Giving into the mind is not direct teaching. Giving to the mind is not direct teaching. Transferring directly from consciousness to consciousness, that is the transfer. From chetana to chetana. That is why Krishna is saying here, bhutanam asmi chetana. Because chetana is the one in the bhutam, among the living entities, who is capable of receiving the transcendental knowledge. Not the mind, not the intelligence, not the senses, nothing. Therefore, I am that, Krishna says. Bhutanam asmi chetanam. There is chetana in me, there is chetana in everybody, isn't it? So, and in all living entities, animals, plants, trees, creepers, everywhere chetana is present, consciousness is present, everywhere. That awareness, Krishna says, you should know that's me, which is present in every living entities. Bhutanam asmi chetana. Chetana, to know that, Krishna, so, and how do we know, that is what Acharya Swami mentions here, how do you know that chetana? He mentions there that chetana, he says, Sangal Bhutanam Asmi Chetana, he says, Karya Karana Sankhade Nityam Abhivikta Buddhi Vritti Chetanaha. This Chetana, it is the word, why they use the word Chetana? Normally we say consciousness, isn't it? In English you can only use this word, one word, Chetana. Whereas in Sanskrit you will see 10 different words for the same thing. For the same thing referring to, why? Based on the function. Based on the function. For example, we say avabhodam, bodham, awareness, isn't it? Avabhodam. This chetana here, consciousness. So many words. Prajna. So many things used for referring to the same thing. So Bhutanam Asmi Chetana. Why it is called Chetana? Karya Karana Sanghade Nitya Abhivekta Buddhivrti Chetanaha. Because Karyam Karanam, cause and effect. In everything there is cause and effect. And when there is cause and effect, when your intelligence gets clarity there, in the cause and effect, intelligence analyzes this. And that activity of the intelligence in every cause and effect is called Chetana. It's a very complex thing, this thing called soul. Soul is not easy to just explain everything. Based on the functions they are saying to us, that when you hear Karya Karanam, there is so many things, he says, that we mention here, awareness of my existence, or avabodham, what they refer to, is there. And how is it known? Again, it's known through the intelligence. Again, it's known through the intelligence. So, but from intelligence, there is a peculiar power of the intelligence which makes us conscious or awareness of this consciousness. It's a peculiar power in the intelligence, because when we say that the Chetana or consciousness, that nature of that consciousness is to reflect in the intelligence for us to speak about it. Otherwise, because that's the only way we can express it at the moment. When we don't have a self-realization, everything what we speak is through mind and intelligence, isn't it? So, in order to speak that through the intelligence has to have certain power of discrimination when the message is coming from the consciousness. That means, karyam karanam, cause and effect. Everything in this world is cause and effect. There is a karyam, there is a karanam. So, cause and effect way, to analyze this, and extract that awareness that's coming from in the consciousness, that viveka shakti, or the power of that discrimination, what comes from that in form of intelligence, Krishna says, that consciousness is me. That consciousness is me. Then we'll go to the next verse. Rudranam Shankarashasmi Vitesho Yaksha Rakshasam Vasunam Pavakas Chasmi Meru Shikhari Namaham Rudranam Shankaras Chasmi Vitesho Yaksharakshasam Vasunam Pavakas Chasmi Meru Shikhari Namaham Rudranam Shankaras Chasmi Viteesho yaksha rakshasam vasunam pavakas chasmi meru shikharinamaham rudranam ekadashanam shankaraja asmi viteesha kubero yaksha rakshasam yakshanam rakshasam cha vasunam ashtanam pavakacha asmi agni meru shikharinam shikharavadam aham. So there are 11 rudras. They are called Ekadasha Rudram. 11 Rudras, isn't it? 11 Rudram. So, out of that Ekadasha Rudram, there is one Rudra who is called Shankara. Krishna says, I am that. Shankara is me. If you look into Shri Rudram prayers, famous prayers in the Vedam, in the Shri Rudram prayers you will see here that Nada Tanyam Anisham Shankaram Namamyaham. This is Tyagaraja Swami's famous prayers. He's addressing Shankara there. Specifically Shankara as there. So one whose body is made of the sound vibration. Sound vibration is Shankara's body. Shabda Brahmam is Rudra. In other words, Shabda Brahmam is Rudra. One Shabdam. So one form of that, Shankara is sound. Another form of that Shankara is light. And the third form of Shankara is Pranan. Normally you can say sound, light and energy. Three things. One form is the sound, another form is the light, and the third one is Pranan, or which is called energy. Isn't it? So it is much more finer way expressed in the Sri Rudram. It says here, these three things, sound, light and energy, They are three manifestations of Shankara. Manifestations of Shankara. So, if you break up creation, everything, okay, we call creation in one way. In Puranam, how do we say creation? We have Sargam, Visargam in the Bhagavatam, one way of expressing creation. There is another way of expressing creation is Nadam, Bindu, Kala. The three ways will come at the end. It's the same thing like sound, light and energy. In the Shastram, they call it as Nadam, Bindu and Kala. In the Yogam, Yoga means Yoga Margam. Yoga Margam means not our Jnana Margam or Karma Margam. But if you go into the Tantriya Margam and to the Margam which is based on the Ashtanga Yogam and all, there these three words comes, Nadam, Bindu and Kala. That is how they address that three aspects of sound, light and energy. There it says, Nadam is one form of Shiva and fire or the light is another form and the energy is another form, a third form of Shankara. So, if you look into the Chamakam, Rishi Rudram and Chamakam are those prayers which are chanted in the Lord Shiva's worship. The deity worship, it is a important prayers. And there it says, Chamakam says that Agna Vishnu sa Joshase ma Vardhandu Vam Gira. Chamakam's first hymn is Agna Vishnu sa Joshase ma Vardhandu Vam Gira. Agni, fire, is Shiva's form. And there is another name of Lord Shiva also as the color of Agni, Agni Varnam. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice Shiva gives his darshan to many people in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? You know, he has given, he appeared in front of Prachetas in the Bhagavatam. You remember? Fifth canto. Prachetas, in front of Prachetas, Lord Shiva appeared. Then again, for Markandeya Rishi at the end, in the Bhagavatam, you will see in the 12th canto, friend of Markandeya Rishi, Shiva appears. If you know the story, Markandeya went to Himalayas and Pushpabhadra river side, he wanted to see Maya. Narayana Maharshi was there. Narayana Maharshi asked him, what do you want? He said, I want to see Maya, he said. Narayana Maharshi smiled and he walked away from there, and few steps he has walked, Markandeya started experiencing the whole creation is underwater. The effect of Maya, Narayana Maharshi's Maya has appeared, and Markandeya was in a complete shock. And what happened? He felt that he was swimming in that water. It's raining heavily and the whole creation is flooded with water. And Markandeya is swimming and swimming in that water. And many, many kalpam has gone, he says. Maya's power to show us that a few moments have passed, but Markandeya experienced as though millions of years he has been swimming and swimming in the water. And he's no end anywhere, he's still swimming all the time. And at that point, that Krishna appears on a leaf there, and then Markandeya Maharshi was taken inside through one of the nostrils. He went inside Krishna's body. And in another breath, Markandeya came through the other nostril out. Now, if you say all these stories to someone, people think these are far out stories, they will say. Is it not? They will think these are far out stories. That they want to have creation in their way. They want to understand. But it is there in the Bhagavatam. What it means is this. That Markandeya goes inside, Markandeya came out from inside and he's swimming again. And ultimately Markandeya is looking for where was I? When he went inside, what he saw, that all this creation inside Krishna's body. He saw Krishna's body inside, he's seeing the creation. So when he came out, and when he got inside, he got confused there. Exactly the way he got confused outside. When he went inside also, he got confused. Then Markandeya says there, It's no point in looking inside and outside of this person. It's no point in looking at it. You won't get anywhere. And Markandeya, at that time, famous prayers from Markandeya is looking for. And then what happened? Suddenly, Narayana Maharshi looked back and there was nothing there. On the spot, whole thing disappeared. And then Narayana Maharshi walks back to him and says to Markandeya, smiling at him, Markandeya Maharshi says, I understood now Maya what it is. At that time, Narayana Maharshi disappears and then Markandeya goes into Samadhi state. He was a great Rishi, Markandeya Rishi, isn't it? Markandeya Rishi used to come see Yudhishthira Maharaj and talks to him about Ramchandra's story. This is in the Bhagavatam. So Markandeya Rishi at that time sitting there and he is in meditation. While he was in meditation, Sri Parvati and Shiva came on the bull. They were passing through that way. Parvati Devi says to Lord Shiva that little boy who is sitting there, let's go to him and see him. Markandeya is a young boy, he is not so old. So went up to him. Shiva and Parvati were standing outside. He couldn't recognize them. He didn't notice that they were standing outside. He didn't notice because he was in Samadhi, eyes closed, he was sitting like that. So Shiva says to Parvati that if we stand here, we'll be standing a long time. He's not going to wake up. He's in such a Samadhi state. I'm going to go inside, he said. And suddenly in that state, Markandeya sees inside Shiva and Parvati. Bhagavatam, you can see there. Shiva and Parvati appears inside. He has not meditated on Shiva or Parvati, but Shiva and Parvati appeared inside. And when that happened, he opened his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he saw Shiva and Parvati standing there. In front of Parvati Devi and Shiva is in fright in front. And seeing that exactly like the way Shiva did with Prachetas, he says to Markandeya that you are very dear to me because you have taken spiritual life so seriously to take Krishna shelter and gave a lot of benedictions to Markandeya Maharshi. At that time, Sri Parvati gave some very special mercy to Markandeya. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. If you look, you will see there that what all the speciality he offered, Sri Parvati gives to Markandeya. In the 12th canto, he mentions there, in the very end it is, in the Markandeya story, three chapters are there, and the last one, he says, and these special benedictions from Markandeya has made Markandeya who he is. He mentions to him that Puran Acharya Dastute, he has been the Acharya of all the Puranam, Markandeya Maharshi, which is chapter 8, 9 and 10. 10th chapter, if you look the 10th chapter, you will see the benedictions from Sri Parvati to Markandeya. Very special benedictions. 65. There is also, you can read there, the glorification of Lord Shiva by Markandeya there. Krishi Uvacha, it says. Oh, at the end of the tenth chapter, in the 12th canto, you will see there, Suta Uvacha, that Jnanam Traigaligam Brahman, Vijnanam Cha Viraktimal, Brahma Varchasino Bhuyal, Purana Acharya Dastude. This is the benediction. Jnanam Traikaligam Brahman, Vijnanam Cha Viraktimal, Brahma Varchasino Bhuyal, Purana Acharya Dastude. That verse 37 in the 10th chapter of the 12th canto. That he says, before that he says, Itti Archido Vishtudascha Munina Suktaya Gira Tamaha Bhagavan Sharva Sarvaya Chavinandida Kamo Maharshe Sarvoyam Bhaktimam Stomathokshaje Agal Panda Dieshas Punyam Ajara Marada Tatha. Bhaktimamstam Athokshaji. When they asked him, Shiva and Parvati asked Markandeya, what benediction do you want? What did he say to them? He says, if you look in the 34th verse, Varamegam Vrinedhabi Purnal Kamam Hivarshanal Bhagavadi Achudam Bhakti Talpareshu Tathatvai. All I am asking is Bhakti. Bhakti to Bhagavadi Achudam Bhakti. Bhakti to Krishna. Equal Bhakti Talpareshu Tathatvai to Shiva also, to Shankara. That is what Markandeya prayed for. What did he say? Bhagavati Achudam Bhakti. Bhakti to Krishna. Talpareshu Tathatvai. Equally Bhakti to you, to Shiva. He says, this is how he replied that. At that time, Sudha Goswami says that that because the prayers you can see before that, Dasmai Namo Bhagavati Trigunaya Gunalpane Kevalaya Dhiriyaya Gurave Brahma Murtaye. Then he says, Varamega Vrane Edhabi Purnal Kama Vivarshanal Bhagavati Achudam Bhakti Talpareshu Tatha Tvai. Bhakti to Krishna and Bhakti to Shiva, both. He has asked, Markandeya Maharshi asked that. And Sudha Goswami says there, that at time, that everything was given. Lord Shiva gave that to Markandeya, both Bhakti to Krishna and Bhakti to Shiva, he gave that. At that time, Sri Parvati told Shiva, that's not enough. I want to give something, she says. Her kripa, that grace in her mercy. Jnanam Trigaligam Brahman, Trigala Jnanam, that means past, present, future, everything what from the time and space beyond that state. Vijnanam cha viraktimal, full knowledge of the Shastram. Brahmavarchasino bhuyal, Brahmavarchasa means that Brahman realization brings certain qualifications in a person. That is Brahmavarchasa. Brahmavarchasino bhuyal, and finally, Purana Acharya, all Puranas, Acharya is Markandeya Rishi. That is why every Puranam, including Ramayanam, Bharatam, Mahabharatam and all, when Markandeya Maharshi used to recite this in Yudhishthira Maharaj assembly, and also to many, many times in many palaces, Markandeya Maharshi comes means they all want to hear Puranam from him. Because of this special qualifications given to him by Sri Parvati. Sri Parvati has given these qualifications to him. So, what I was saying was that Shiva is present, give darshanam to Prachedas, gives darshanam to Markandeya Maharshi, and also you will see Shiva present in Dakshayagam, isn't it? Daksha, in the fourth canto, what happened with Daksha? Today is Lord Shiva's Shivaratri, it is. So, incidentally, we have to remember this also, that the Dakshayagam happened, and why is that fourth canto so important, this Dakshayagam in there? Because that is where, in the Dakshayagam, you will see that four kinds of people, children, women, and young men, and old people, four examples in the Bhagavatam there, in that fourth canto. If we follow Bhagavatam, Krishna's instructions, in any of these four categories, there won't be distress. Children, example of that is Dhruva. Some of that is Dhruva. And the story of Daksha is important. Why? By upsetting Sri Parvati, what happened to show to us? When Sri Parvati went to Daksha Prajapati's daughter, isn't it? When Sri Parvati went there, Daksha did not respect her, not because of his relationship with Shiva, isn't it? And Daksha offended Lord Shiva to such an extent, Shiva didn't take notice of that. But when this incident happened that Sri Parvati had to give up her body, that has infuriated Shiva, isn't it? You know that what happened then? He pulled out the hair. Normal, if Shiva gets upset, means what? He is the controller of the destruction, isn't it? So immediately it manifested in the form of Virabhadra, who went there and beaten up everybody there. All the, even the sages who have all supported Daksha, their heads were thrown out, the teeth were broken, and so many things you read there in the Bhagavatam. So after all that happened, Sri Parvati gave up her body in the fire of yoga system. Yoga, yoga agni, she burned her body. And that Shiva couldn't bear that. Shiva couldn't bear that. When in Bhagavatam, when all these things were spoken, Maitreya Maharshi and Vidura is discussing this, isn't it? Fourth canto. Maitreya Maharshi says to Vidura, they were inquiring about everybody who has lost their life in that sacrifice and who became disembodied, who has got their body parts missing, this, that and everything, so many happened. Not one person inquired what happened to Sri Parvati, to Dakshayani, Daksha's daughter, Dakshayani. And that is what upset Shiva very much. That she had to give up the body like this. And father's insult to the daughter was, she couldn't bear that. Especially when her husband, which was Shiva, was offended so badly by, although Lord Shiva has not taken any insult, Daksha in his own way interpreted everything and went beyond the limit and spoke so harsh words there. So that Sri Parvati, when she disappeared, went from this world, Shiva felt that separation and wanted to finish up this Daksha's business once for all. So that whole episode is to show to us that if the devotee like Sri Parvati, if she is offended, and what can happen in that situation, that is that lesson from that fourth canto. So here, that Markand, in three instances at least minimum, there are many other places also in the Bhagavatam. You may think Bhagavatam is all about Krishna stories. No, Bhagavatam has brought in all these things to show to us so many other things. So Prajedha's incident, where Shiva appears and instructed them on Rudragidam, isn't it? So famous prayers in the fourth canto, Rudragidam. Lord Shiva glorifying Krishna. And he taught the prayers to Prajedhas and told Prajedhas to chant these prayers. For 10,000 years, underneath the water, they were chanting these prayers for 10,000 years. Why so 10,000 years? It seems that Krishna was so pleased with those prayers, he didn't want them to come out of the water, to stay underneath the water for 10,000 years. Now don't ask me, after 10,000 years, how the body will be, that whether all the skin will be, must have, you can't ask that question, that is no relevance. Their prayers and their bodies are different in the way they had to pray, their power was given to them. So Prajedhas was given power to pray to, and that is according to Shiva's instruction. Shiva gave instructions to Prajedhas and encouraged them in worshipping Krishna. Markandeya's case, you see the same thing. And similarly in Dakshayagam also, at the end what happens? Shiva asked, why did all these things happen? Why Daksha's head has gone like this? Mainly because Daksha didn't invite Vishnu for the sacrifice. Somehow missed that. And that arrogance in Daksha, Daksha was a very, the word itself is Daksha is expert, but he's expert in many things, he is expert. But Daksha had this difficulty that he has also a lot of pride in him. Dehabhimanam is very strong. Shiva doesn't have any Dehabhimanam, isn't it? So he says about Daksha, Daksha's main problem is Dehabhimanam. That means I am important, somebody very important. So in order to remove that Dehabhimanam, Shiva says, I have no other choice except to get rid of that head from there and put this goat's head on top of it. And Yaksha had to live like that for a very long period of time with the goat's head. And later on, Daksha gets back into normal life. By then, Daksha has realized the mistake and he comes back to his normal. So, Bhagavatam, there are all these incidents in relationship with Shiva. So, there, in look at that way, that there Shiva is explained in this way, Sapta Hemani Kayabham, that just like molten gold, that's the color of Lord Shiva. Again, when milk ocean was churned, Shiva is there to take that poison, isn't he? kalahalam, that poison, and Sri Parvati says to him to take that poison, otherwise all creation will come to an end. So everywhere in the Bhagavatam you will see Shiva's presence in so many different instances. So in other places, Lord Shiva's color is different. Sometimes it's explained as though when sun rises in the morning, that red color in the sky as Shiva's color. Similarly, when sun sets in the evening, the color in the sky, that is also Shiva's color. So if you look into Sri Rudram, the Sri Rudram prayers, Rudram and Chamakam, they goes together. In the Sri Rudram prayers, it mentions that Namah Somaya cha Rudraya cha, Namah Somaya cha Rudraya cha, and Namah Stamraya cha Runaya cha, Namah Gangaya cha Pashupataya cha, Namah Ugraya cha Bhimaya cha, Namo Agrevathaya cha Durevathaya cha, Namo Handreja Haniya Seva, Namo Vrikshebhyo Harikeshebhyo Namastamaya, Namo Shambhaveja Mayobhaveja, Namo Shankaraya cha Mayaskaraya cha Mayaskaraya cha, Namo Shivaya cha Shivataraya cha, Namo Stirthyaya cha Kulyaya cha. So offering continuously prayers to Shiva through the Sri Rudram prayers, which is chanted by in the Shiva's worship. So here you will see Namah Shivaya cha Shivataraya cha, and finally it says here that Shankara Shankarodi iti Shankara, Shankarodi iti Shankara, that is the definition of that word Shankara. Shankara Sham means one who creates knowledge in a person, or auspiciousness in a person, or Shankara, Bhadram, auspiciousness, all these things, one who gives that, he is Shankara. Shankarodi iti Shankara. So, and this form of Shankara, who is present inside in each one of us, in our Sarupam, Shankara is present. Shankara is present. Rudranam Shankara Shasmi. Krishna is saying here, Rudranam Shankara Shasmi. As I mentioned before, Krishna is saying here, Rudranam Shankara Shasmi. Among the Rudras, I am Shankara, he says. Again, while reading this, don't go into that personality side too much, because then it will be very difficult. As I mentioned before, in the Mahabharatam, there are so many places where it mentioned that Krishna has been presented as Shiva's incarnation. In the Mahabharatam, Shiva's incarnations. And Bhagavad Gita, if you look in there, Krishna is saying, Rudranam Shankara Chasmi. And he says, for destruction, I am coming as Shankara. I am coming as Shankara. Basically telling us, practically there is no difference there between Krishna and Shankara on the spiritual level. It is on the form that we see the differences. On the form, we see the differences. Rudra, Vishnu, everything is present there. And so, while the war was going on, in Mahabharatam this comes, while the war was going on, Arjuna asked Vedavyasa Maharshi, every time I shoot an arrow, sometimes it becomes 1,000 and sometimes it becomes 10,000. What is the secret in this? He says to Vedavyasa. So Vedavyasa says to him, and even Arjuna himself was surprised in the battlefield. You remember he took Pashuvadastram from Shiva after placing Shiva. And it was Shiva's mercy. If you read Bhagavatam, Mahabharatam, you will see there, Arjuna shot thousands of arrows at the same time, it says. And so many thousands of Kauravas were killed. So you'll start wondering, how is that possible, isn't it? So that is the beauty, Shiva's special mercy to Arjuna, that any time you shoot an arrow, it will multiply. And Arjuna could not understand how this was happening. So he's asking Vedavyas later on, how did this happen? So Vedavyas told him, that is that Pashupadastra. He didn't know himself what was happening. And Arjuna was saying that people are telling me, I am an amazing person to fight the war. I'm such a good soldier, my capacity. But what was happening, I don't know, he said. So, but one thing I have noticed, when I was traveling in the chariot, there was somebody in front of the chariot, not far from me, who was a golden color and who had a bow and arrow in the hand. But a bow in the arrow in the hand. And I was seeing that, and actually I could see that it was his arrows that was going everywhere. But people were only seeing it was my arrows. He's talking about this incident. And it was then that, so he says to him, it was him who was actually killing everyone, but I was getting all the name. Who Arjuna is saying this. Vedavya says to him, that is Rudra, that is Shiva. That is Shiva. So in Mahabharata war, whatever Arjuna has done, Arjuna was thinking that it was all his, people were glorifying him for everything. But if you look into Bhagavad Gita also, in that 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where little bit of spoken about the war, isn't it, in the universal form, everyone gets swallowed up by the universal form. There, what does Krishna says there? Krishna says, Shiva is my, that form of destruction. Practically, everything what you read in that 11th chapter is Shiva's manifestation. What you read there is Shiva's manifestation. So many verses, one after the other. When Arjuna got frightened, seeing the universal form, isn't it? So that aspect of Krishna, of destruction is Shiva. The aspect of destruction of Krishna is Shiva, isn't it? That is why when we say creation, maintenance, destruction, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva in three forms, we glorify Krishna. But the destruction, destructive aspect is what you find in that 11th chapter, which we have seen before. And in that universal form, finally when Aneka Bahu Dara Vaktra Netram Pashyami Tvam Sarvadonanda Rupam Nandam Namadhyam Napurastavadim Pashyami Vishveshwara Vishwarupam Pashyami Devam Sava Deva Dehi Sarvam Sada Bhuta Vishesha Sanghan Brahmanam Isham Kamala Sanastam Krishimja Sarva Anuragamscha Divyan Aneka Bahudaram 16th verse Aneka Bahudara Vakra Netram Pashyami Tvam Sarvadonanda Rupam Nandam Namadhyam Napunastavadim Pashyami Visheshwara Vishwarupah Kiridinam Gadinam Chakranam Cha Tejo Rashim Sarvado Diptimandam Pashyami Tvam Durnariksham Samandat Deeptanalarkadyutim Aprameyam Tvam Aksharam Varamam Veditavyam Tvamasya Vishwasya Varam Nidhanam Tvam Avyaya Shashvata Dharma Gopte Gopta Sanatanastvam Purusho Madhomi Anadi Madhyandam Ananda Viryam Ananda Bahum Shashi Surya Netram Pashyami Tvam Deepta Hudasha Vaktram Svatejasa Vishwamidam Tapandam Dhyava Pradivyoridamandaram Hi Vyaptam Dvayai Genadishascha Sarva Drishtvalbudam Urubam Ugram Tavedam Lokatrayam Pratyadidam Mahalman Amihitvam Surasangamishandi Kejil Bhida Pranjaneyogranandi Susti Tuktva Maharshi Siddha Sangha Stuvanditvam Studibi Pushkalabhi. Then it says, Rudra Aditya Vasavo Yeja Sadhya Vishveshino Marida Shoshavascha Gandharva Yaksha Asura Siddha Sangha Vikshandetvam Vismidaschaiva Sarve. So there, that aspect, Rudra Aditya Vasavo Yeja Sadhya, all of them, whenever Arjuna was seeing there, it was Krishna's that aspect of destruction, which is the form of Lord Shiva. And finally, at the end of that, he says there that Akhyahimego, that is verse 31, he says, Akhyahimego Bhavan Ugrarupa. What is that Ugrarupam? Ugrarupam is Shiva. Krishna's Ugrarupam. We don't want to see, that's why Arjuna says, I don't want to see this anymore. I can't stand this, he said. Akhyahimego Bhavan Ugrarupa Namostude Devavara Prasida Vijnyadu Michami Bhavanda Madhyam Nahi Prajanami Tava Pravurtim. So that is how that chapter goes. So Vedanam Sama Vedosmi Devanam Asmi Vasava Indriyanam Manaschasmi Bhudanam Asmi Chetanam Rudranam Shankarashasmi Rudranam Shankarashasmi. So in Rudram, in Sri Rudram, you will see Krishna, Shiva is addressed as Nilakantha. In other words, why one who has standing there with the bow in the hand, with matted hair, and a lot of Rudras are traveling around all the time. There is some interesting things in the Bhagavatam when you come to Lord Shiva also. It's not everything, so we will not look for it, so we won't find it. Because of this reason, that Ekadasha Rudras are traveling in all holy places, especially the holy places, they are present there. When Didi Devi went to Kashyapa Prajapati, and at a time, especially it was the sun setting time, isn't it? Sandhya Samayam. Didi Devi says to Kashyapa Prajapati that she wants to have a union with him at that time. Kashyapa Prajapati, you'll see this in the third canto, if you read, you'll find there. Kashyapa Prajapati told her, this is not the right time. Didi asked her, what is the problem? She says, this is the time when Shiva wanders around. Ekadasha Rudras, they are moving around. Shiva is, do you not see him traveling on the bull? And look at this, and indicated to Didi Devi to look at Lord Shiva traveling on a bull. It is in the Bhagavatam, you can read in the third canto. So, this is not a time. What is Shiva looking at? If we are doing the right thing at the right time. This time of the sun setting time is meant for spiritual activity, like the morning hours. It's meant for spiritual activity. So, Shiva is observing our activities, and if you have a relationship at this time, you will feel very distressed about it very later. Didi Devi could not control her mind, and finally Kashyapa Prajapati had to agree. And then later on Kashyapa Prajapati says, Aho Maya Balam Vishnu. Vishnu's power of Maya. It was meant to happen. Otherwise, a personality like Kashyapa Prajapati, who was one of the major Prajapatis, isn't it? Mariji, Atri, Angiras, and if you look at the list, Kashyapa Prajapati is a very famous personality. For him to commit a mistake like that, to have a relationship with even though your wife, still to have a relationship at that inauspicious time, Didi Devi later on felt very bad about it. What happened? Kashyapa Prajapati said, I can't do anything about it. The result is that you have become pregnant, and you will have two children born from that, and they will turn the whole universe upside down. That's what he told her to Didi Devi. When she heard that, she was in a great depressed state, that what a mistake I have done. Kashyapa Prajapati says to her that I told you that Shiva walks around at that time. There's a few nice verses in the Bhagavatam, you have to read that to get that whole picture. And at that time you didn't listen to me. This is the result now, this has happened. Then Didi Devi says to Kashyapa Prajapati, what shall I do now? It's always like that, isn't it? After the whole thing has become everything, what do they say? Made a mockery of the whole thing. And say, what shall I do now? This is usual in every story, you will see there. This happens. So she asked him, what shall I do now? Kashyapa Prajapati says to her, I can't do anything about it. These two demons will come, and they will turn the whole place upside down. All I can do, I can delay it a little bit. That is possible. So for 100 years, Didi Devi kept Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakashipu inside. They didn't come out. For 100 years, she kept. So after that, finally, they had to come out. That is what Kashyapa Prajapati's special benediction to Didi Devi. So it stayed like that. So here, that Tirthakshetram, particularly going to holy places, holy situations, temples, and also places which are places where great sages, great realized souls lived and performed their penances. That is what Tirthakshetra means basically. Generally you will find all the great places or places where pastimes of Krishna or any other Ramachandra places that has happened, they are all holy places, aren't they? In such places, in a very subtle form, Lord Shiva is present. Lord Shiva is present. And therefore, they always say that one should be very careful when they go to these places. In other words, great, great mountains, forests, riverbanks, all these places, many great sages have lived in the past and they've executed their penances there. So in such places, there are many Siddha Purushas, that means realized souls, demigods, Ekadasha Rudras, they are all moving around in those places. Moving around in those places. Just like places like Govardhana Hill. When you go there, you know that it is a place where Krishna had his, Govardhanam is Krishna, isn't it? And if we go there and if we do some things which are very negative, negative means do things which are not proper, like going to Govardhana Hill and buying an apartment there and putting on the television and enjoying the television there, saying that I am next to Govardhan. That is offense to Govardhanam actually. It's offense to Govardhanam. Same thing with Radhakund, Shyamakund, all holy places, whether it is Haridwar, Rishikesh, there are hundreds and thousands of holy places, some places at least where Krishna and Shiva and many other great souls and great sages, they had their pastimes and their presence is still there. So therefore, while going to these places, one has to be more alert about it, not to commit any offenses there. That is the reason that in the ancient times, when the people went to these Tirthakshetram, in these places like spiritually potent places, they'll be extra cautious than when they were at home. When they were at home. Nowadays what happens? We have turned the whole thing into spiritual tourism. Everywhere you go, they have said, oh, it's a very good place for tourists. To get tourists there, that's our highest priority. And these tourists who are coming there, all they want is the tourist has to be enjoyed. They have to be entertained, isn't it? So you have to use every holy places now has turned into a tourism industry has developed there because they have come for, they want resorts, alcohol and other things. And if that's Vedam is saying here, that when you go to such places, particularly to be extra careful, Tirthakshetram, forests and things like that, more careful. Because in all those places, Sri Rudram says, Shidi Kandaha, Shiva is present. In all the holy places, Shiva is present to watch our behavior. If you act there in the wrong way, when you come back, you may find something negative in your own experiences in this life. So that is why Rudranam Shankarashasmi. And Kuber, he says here, the Rudranam Vitesho Yaksha Rakshasam. Among the Yakshas, Kubera. I am the treasure of the demigods. And also, Mahabharatam, there is this verse also. In the Drona Bhargavam, in the last chapter, Arjuna says, Mahabharata verse this is, it says there, that every time, Vasunam Pavakas Chasmi Meru Shikharinam Aham, the last two things. In Mahabharatam, how it puts is like this, that, Drona Bhargavam, when Drona was killed in the battle, the Arjuna says, big, big things are happening in this world. And when big things happen, for example, in the World War happened, isn't it? Second World War. And there we mentioned Hitler was responsible for that. Mussolini was responsible for the war. And what happened? It was a very big thing, isn't it? Millions got killed. Incidents like that in the war. And Arjuna is saying here that when Drona was killed, I also got the impression that there is a higher force working behind. Arjuna says, I could have never killed Drona otherwise. How did this happen? Arjuna himself was so surprised because after all Arjuna learned from Drona everything. And how did I kill Drona? Arjuna didn't know. And then Arjuna talks about it that if this has to happen, there has to have a higher power behind it. Otherwise this couldn't have happened. Drona was in no way inferior to me in any battle. And Arjuna recognizes that in a similar way, when things happen in this world with war, or any kind of things like that, Sometimes like we say, big war happened. Due to one person it happens, isn't it? For example, now you see in Syria that one person, because of that, there is so much problem. How many? 70,000, 100,000 they say already killed in Syria. In Libya, we have seen the same thing happening. Iraq, we have seen the same thing happening. And it will always happen. It's not only in one or two places. It's all the time happening, all the time. All the places. And we attribute to that individual who is present there. Whether it is Saddam Hussein, or whether it is Assad, or whether it's somebody else, Hitler or Mussolini, it doesn't matter. This Arjuna's realization is, Arjuna says, I'm just a puppet. There is a higher force operating behind this. And it is that force who is pushing this person to create this disturbance in this world. So, if you start thinking, one person may get a good name in this, one person may get a bad name in all these things. But behind all these things, it is that vibhuti of Krishna. This is Krishna's another vibhuti, which is operating behind all these powerful personalities. And if you see that vibhuti, because our tendency is normally to find fault with one person, isn't it? We'll say that he is responsible for this. Hitler is responsible, Mussolini is responsible, or some other big political leader is responsible. On the surface, yes, we can see it like that. But in depth, when you look at it, it is Krishna behind it. That vibhuti, that is Krishna's another vibhuti. How things are controlled from behind. That we won't notice, because Andaryami in the Hitler, Andaryami in Mussolini, Andaryami in Gaddafi, Andaryami in Assad, Andaryami in Saddam Hussein also is Krishna. Without Krishna's sanction, they can't do that, what they have done. That is the way to see it, not to think separately. If you start seeing separately, as Krishna mentions in the 18th chapter, it is Rajasam. If you start seeing Krishna's presence in them, who has been, why this has happened, then it is Satyam. So, here, in this chapter, 20th verse is the most important verse. I mentioned that so many times now. Verse 20. Aham Atma Gudakesha. I'm sure all of you remember that verse now. We have repeated so many times. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarvabhuda Shastida. Aham Adhyamcha Madhyamcha Bhutanam Andamevacha. So, this verse is for what we call as anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means constant remembrance and constant realization. In other words, seeing Krishna as soul. Krishna as the soul. And realizing that is the perfection of spiritual life. You can see that. Once you realize that, that means sarvabhudeshaya pashyel bhagavad bhavam. That's the result, isn't it? Once you realize aham alma gudakesha, the result is sarvabhudeshu yapashet bhagavabham almana, perfection of that. So, going on pilgrimage, going to the temples, chanting the holy name, coming to salsangam, all these things, what is the end of all these things? One day you may not be able to do any of these things. A day will come, there is no doubt about that. One day you won't be able to even chant. You can become so weak in your body, isn't it? You may not be able to chant. You may not be able to travel anywhere. All these direct flights to Delhi and to Vrindavan will come to stop one day. It's not forever. It will last for a few years in life. And similarly, even going to Bhaktivedanta Manor may become a difficult situation, can come in life. Who knows? It may not happen, but it can happen. Body can take you to that state, isn't it? But, or even if you want to go and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, there may not be an opportunity to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. But, even if all those things goes away, Aham Alma Gudakesha, you cannot lose it. That is the beauty of this realization. Aham Alma Gudakesha is forever, forever. In any circumstances, under any situations, aham alma, that awareness inside, Krishna is present inside, that is the most important thing.
even if all other processes fail due to your own physical situation or situation with your own life, it can happen that you may not have that opportunity to do it, but Hamalma Gudagesha, nothing can stop it from realizing this. So even if this is important, that you may do the deity worship today, you may read Srimad Bhagavatam, or you may come to Satsangam and listen. But, and all the purpose of all this is to bring memory of Krishna inside. Somehow or the other, memory of Krishna inside. So, without all these things, able to keep within the heart, Krishna within the heart. To depend on something outside for spiritual life, it is called Ashraya Dosham. That means you are dependent on something for your spiritual life, isn't it? Ashraya Dosham. Ashraya Dosham is not there in this realization. That is the beauty of this Ahamatma Gudakesha. All other things, there is Ashraya. You need to depend on something. Depend on your mind, depend on your body, depend on your capacity to do things, so many things. So, Ahamatma Gudakesha, there is no Ashraya Dosham in that. You know what I'm saying? Ashraya Dosha means that you cannot execute your particular Krishna conscious activity without taking shelter of something, either the body or the mind or whatever. In this one, Ahamalma Gudakesha, there is no such thing. It is yourself, that realization of Krishna inside. So, Ahamalma Gudakesha, bring memories of Krishna inside. So, once you lose it, all other things, suppose you are chanting Hare Krishna or you are doing deity worship, you are dependent on the deities for your worship. Once you lose the deities, by any reason, if you have no connection with the deities, the memory of Krishna also you can lose with that. Is it not? Similarly, while chanting the holy name also, if anything happens that you are not in a position to chant, then it's possible that your connection with the holy name also can go. Even if you want to chant the holy name, it can happen, a situation can happen that you may not be able to do it. A situation can happen. That is not in our hands, isn't it? The body, how it will act, we have seen with devotees. Sometimes, even with all the mercy, sometimes at the time of death, either you are not conscious or you are not in a position to remember Krishna anyway, it can happen. Even though externally so many things, you are dependent on other devotees to chant or to remind you about Krishna. So Ashraya Dosham is there for everything else. Ahamalpa Gudakesha is not dependent on anything. To become realizing Krishna's presence inside. So simple thing of remembrance of Krishna inside has to happen. And in other words, to see and realize Krishna within the heart as the self. Within the heart as the self. That is what is spoken about here. So many realized souls have spoken about this one point very strongly. They have spoken about it. One day they have asked one Siddha, has asked this question, for how many years you have been worshipping this stone, he said, in the form of the deity. And you have been chanting this mantra for so many years. That's okay, that's not rejected. But if it has all helped you to develop bhakti inside and that purification has happened inside and it has resulted in self-realization, then it is favorable. But instead, the whole lifetime you kept continuing doing the deity worship and ultimately you didn't realize this truth what Krishna has spoken. What is that? Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyet. If that has not happened, what is the use, they are asking? And that is a very genuine question, is it not? Whole life you have done the deity worship. This you can see in many, many people it has happened. They were very particular about the deity worship, but this realization never came to them. Which one? Ahamatma Gudakesha. So realized souls ask this question, what is the benefit of all these things? You will see the same thing I mentioned before also in the Kavilopadesham, in the third canto. Remember? What did he say there? If you look into the third canto,
Exactly the same thing. Kapila Maharshi says, those who are doing this are insulting me.
29th chapter. If you look into the third canto. 29th chapter.
Very, very strong words he has used there. Verse 27. Athamam sarvabhudeshu. 3, 29, 27. Athamam sarvabhudeshu. Bhudalpanam kradalayam arhaye danamanabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusham jiva shreshtahya jivanam tada pranaprada shubhe tada sajitta pravara tada chendriya vrtayam. And then he says that that arhamam sarvabhudeshu bhudalpanam kradalayam. If few verses before, even in verse 21, he says, Aham Sarveshu Bhudeshu. Bhagavadam is very strong on this message. Which one? Krishna's presence in the heart. You can't ignore that. You may be very expert in the worship of the deity. Doesn't matter. You can see in the third canto, Kapila Maharshi is saying this to Devahuti Devi. In the 11th canto, Hari Maharshi is saying to Nimi. All over, he says, Aham Sarveshu Bhudeshu. Bhudalma avastita sada tam avajnayama martya kurute archa vidambanam. That's the words. He's saying, Aham sarveshu bhudeshu. I am present in everyone as the Aham Alma Gudakesha. Present in everyone. Bhudalma avastita sada. As Alma in all of them all the time. And you are ignoring me that. Tam avajnayama. You are ignoring altogether. Kurude archa vidambanam, and you are doing your deity worship? He's asking that question. Kurude archa vidambanam, he says. What a joke, says. What a joke. So, bhakti is all right to talk about bhakti, deity worship and all that. If these things are not happening, your deity worship is all bogus. It has no meaning. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalma avastita sada tam avajnayamam martya kurite archa vidambanam. Then he says, yo mam sarveshu bhudeshu sandamalpanam ishwaram hitu archam bhajade maudyat basmanyeva juho disam. Goes on like that. And finally he says, adhamam sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalpanam kritalayam marhaye danamanabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusham. Adhamam sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalpanam kritalayam. Sarveshu bhudeshu. The biggest temple is here, inside. That's where the temple is. Sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalpanam kritalayam. There, if you please him, Andaryami, inside, then arhaye dhanamanabhyam, then you will realize this truth. Maitreya abhinena chakshusha. That this separation will go. What we are experiencing in our life. That is what he is saying here. Arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusham. This has to be known, taken very seriously. These messages in the Bhagavatam. Only then you can say that you have got some understanding from the Bhagavatam. Simply taking one verse and talking about it is alright. But the message is much more stronger than that. And that message is coming through all the time. That's what we see. So we'll stop there today. We'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.